try and pass it on Thursday when we do the other reports and so on. So I've now checked, because this department, I must just tell you, DG, you may be good with a whole lot of stuff, but when it comes to taking instructions, there's a hopelessness that pervades, which one has great difficulty in understanding. This simple bill, we now have NEMA in it, now we've taken NEMA out. We take NEMA out, then we sort of take all the other amendments also out. I've now asked Mr. Abada to sit down with Mr. Scottney to go through the bill and make sure and proofread that every single word that was in the original bill is there, then check the amendments that we've made, and then check what extra other bills where there's consensus other than NEMA is also in this bill. Now, do you understand what I've just said, Gigi? Is there a great difficulty in what I've said? Oh,
but
yeah. It starts with the top.
No. Chair, am I understanding you to be saying... am I understanding you correctly that the amendment, the bill must only contain all the other amendments, whether they relate to the biodiversity, waste, earth, and air quality, except the NEMA chapter 5 also?
Everything about NEMA does not go into this bill, because we've not discussed all those issues about NEMA. The whole idea was, the agreement was, that we'll take all these things that we've discussed and have no problem.
Yeah.
And then NEMA will look at as a whole to make sure what it is we agree and what we don't agree.
Okay.
So
I
NEMA
think it's
must
clear.
Be separate.
I think it's clear.
Yeah. Now, you guys, please do that. I want to pass this bill on Thursday. I promise, Minister, we'll move with this. The only hold-up now is the department. And I want to make that categorical. I don't if and but. It's the department that's the hold-up, okay? You guys are the hold-up. Also, the name of the bill. You don't listen to some clerk somewhere who tells you don't put first. You put first amendment. The other one becomes the second amendment. Otherwise, we're going to have to change the names of the bill. Now, it's easier just to do it first and second to make it very clear that we're splitting the thing. I hope the resolution that goes with it that explains the splitting has also been done. All those things must be passed on Thursday. Okay. That's enough problems I've had with this department for this. Now, the next issue. They want the, whatever they, who they call themselves, I think it's programming, wants Nagoya and the Water Highland thing to be on Tuesday. Definitely Nagoya. I've said they want a full debate on the water thing, which I thought was a good idea, a short debate, which can then deal with the whole issue of water and its scarcity, but then including the Sutu Phase 2. But I've said that I think a debate like that the minister should participate, that we get the department as well into the debate. If it's something we want to project to South Africa, then clearly it must be the legislator and the executor. Now, I need someone. Where is that? Is Errol here? Where's Errol? DG, can you get someone to call? Quanele. Could you call Errol urgently and check Minister's availability to participate in a debate on water and the Lesotho Highland project on Tuesday next week? Because before we confirm the date with this programming, I want this first to be confirmed whether Minister's available. If she's
sure,
not available on Tuesday, when is
she
available this week, coming
next
week? Okay?
Next week she is at the Free Corp in Korea.
The whole week?
No, I'm saying on Tuesday.
Yeah.
When are you? Yeah.
Coming back on Wednesday. Right, so check if Minister's available Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday next week for this debate, because I want her to participate in the debate as well, okay? The department to participate in her. Please, I'm sorry to give you that job, but Errol's not here. Which then means that we need to prepare properly, our members in any case, for those two debates. The Nagoya one, I said, is very technical. I don't understand it myself, so I'm hoping that just passes quite easily. It also then means that this oversight report, have we given this report to the members? Oversight to the Highlands. We should probably pass this before we have this debate next week. So please have a look at this report. I've not read it myself. So read through it and see if you're happy so that we've got in there what we need in there, okay? All right, so those are our two future tasks that are coming up soon. Then to say we've now had a change, we've got a whole list of people that now want to come and do submissions around the National Water Resource Strategy. Yeah, there are quite a lot of them now. So that debate is now on. Or not debate, public hearings for 2 weeks. We'll divide them into, I see, COSATU and Gauteng Water and Sasol and Eskom, a whole lot here. So it's going to look like it's a more interesting debate. Okay, so we'll get that going as well for next week. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday next week, and Friday provisionally. Charlie? Friday provisionally. And then the week after that again, the same days plus Friday provisionally if we need extra time. Okay. Is that all the announcements? Now, today we have the pleasure to have the DG, and DG Ngaba and her intrepid band of warriors from the Department of Environment here. This hearing is scheduled for 2 days. I'd like to finish it in 1 day, if possible, even if we have to sit a bit later tonight, so that everyone can get back and go and work. Unfortunately, we've now been told that we also have a sitting this afternoon for an hour, I think it's an hour. Paraplegic Olympians are coming and we're going to go to the house and congratulate them and so on. So it's something nice and warm, seeing as our country's having severe problems with policemen, police stations being attacked, and I see there's a trial in KwaZulu-Natal where they almost started killing each other at the trial. So things look a bit bleak. So we need a bit of light, and the light are the Olympians, the paraplegic Olympians who are coming this afternoon. But having said that, we'll try and push on as much as we can. If there's any chance of us finishing, even if we sit a bit later today, we'll try and do it so that we have free tomorrow for people to do some other things, and then serve the MDGs and the passing of reports and so on. Okay. From the committee, any questions, any issues? Nothing? Everyone with us? Okay. DG, over to you. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. And good morning, honorable members. I thought that we could start with our presentation and the Auditor General's presentation.
Now, when we start with finances, they can just quickly. I know there's not much that they want to say, so they can have a 2 minute input. Just before we start finances, they can give the input.
All right. Thanks, Chair.
Hopeless.
Okay. Honorable parliamentary rules as well as the treasury guidelines at the end of August, and we are happy that the committee is considering the report today. And my outline of the presentation, I will take it at least that the committee is familiar with our mandate and the vision and the departmental values. And I'll go straight to the slide that reflects the public entities of the department, being South African National Parks, the South African Biodiversity Institute, the Wetland Park, and the South African Weather Service. We do have with us the members of the executive of the South African Weather Service and the other institutions would then be in attendance when required to do so. They are supporting us as a department because we have another meeting after the meeting today that was scheduled. In respect to the programs of the department, we have 6 programs that were appropriated in Parliament, and one being administration and support, which does cover the executive support functions, corporate services, facilitation of cooperative governance between the 3 spheres of government, international relations, and environmental education and awareness. In program 2 was the program called Environmental Quality and Protection, which covers the work on improvement of the quality of the environment in respect to the management of environmental authorizations, the EIA, a system enforcement function. So the green scorpions would be covered under the program, waste management and air quality management. In respect to program 3, that is the program through which the coastal environment, integrated coastal management act is implemented, as well as the work of research in Antarctic and islands, and the building of the vessel, the new SA Agalas, would be covered under that program. And then the fourth program being climate change program, which is a program that is responsible for coordination and management of the national mitigation and adaptation response to climate change. That's the program that also presented the climate change policy last year to Parliament. Program 5, the Biodiversity and Conservation Program, is a program for which the protection of species is undertaken, and mostly both at ecosystems level and also at biome level. We do have different categories of work. The transfrontier conservation work is covered under that program, and the public entities that fall under that program being the South African National Parks Biodiversity Institute, as well as Isimangaliso. Weather services is falling under program 2. And then the last program, the program 6, is a program that focuses on implementation of the environmental sector projects that are linked or at least contribute to job creation. In respect to our top priority areas, honorable members, last year we had also shared this with yourselves when we were also approaching Treasury for funding in terms of the FTEF process. We have a focus on supporting local government in areas of air quality management, waste management, coastal planning, and open space planning as part of the inputs to the special development planning at local government level. We have a program for strengthening compliance and enforcement. Particularly, a greater focus and attention was given to rhino poaching response, and we've had discussions and a briefing session that were dedicated to the issue of the rhino challenge in Parliament last year and early this year. Environmental impact assessment, again, making sure that we streamline the process between national and also the provincial authorities. And then in terms of the priority tree on government assisting to make sure that outcome 10, which is an outcome that is focusing on environmental sustainability, out of the 12 outcomes which have been prioritized by the presidential program, we have a specific focus on alignment of systems, both mining and integrated permitting, environmental management frameworks, and other land use issues. So if you may recall, we've had discussions previously about alignment between mining and environmental legislation, and also the resulting permitting processes. And we can also update you in that regard. Drawing linkages from between climate change, the green economy, and sustainable development it was one priority, in particular to be able to make South Africans and also other authorities understand that the focus is, overall focus is on sustainable development with a particular key prioritization and focus on at least getting South Africa to implement programs that would take us towards a low carbon growth into the future. And then the focus area on national and international engagement, as you may appreciate that the department has got a number of significant multilateral environmental agreements which we have to service working together with other sector departments and in particular the Department of International Relations. In respect to the goals that we covered in our strategic plan, we have goal one on that is focused on environmental assets that must be conserved, valued sustainably, used and protected with the intention of continual enhancement of those resources. We have a goal focusing on enhancing socio-economic benefits that can accrue from implementing programs that seek to achieve environmental sustainability. We have a goal that is then focusing internally in terms of capacitating the workforce and of the department to deliver the services efficiently and effectively. In summary, honourable members, I'm going to give an indication that says that we think that we have performed what was outlined in our business plan or at least strategic plan year one of the strategic plan in terms of the current MTEF, and I will hand over to the DDGs that run these programs. And program one will be presented by Ms. Liz McCourt, the Chief Operating Officer, and then the next program we would get a presentation from Isham Abada, and then followed by Monde Mayekiso, and Oceans and Coast, and then Judy Beaumont on Climate Change, together with Alf Wills. And then Biodiversity, we have the acting DDG, Wazi Mandiveni, Mr. Mukherjee is at the Biodiversity Conference of Parties in India, and then Environmental Sector Programs, Guy Preston, together with Alf Wills again. Thank you. I'm heading over to Liz.
Now, please, the different programs. I'm only interested in performance. Forget my grandmother and all the others. Leave them alone.
Thank you, Chair.
Short, pithy inputs.
It is very short, Chair. We're referring to page 18 and 19 in the annual report, which is summarized as follows. You will see in terms of the vacancy rate that we have performed better than the target, the public service target is 14%, and we've got 11.5%. In terms of turnover rate, again, the public service target is 14%, we have 10.6%. In terms of women, the target is tight there. In Kureti, the target is 50%, and we've achieved 56%. Again, achieving the target. Similarly, with procurement...
Is there any department that has this representativity of women?
We are one of the better performing departments. I think only the Department of Women...
Only your books are clean. It's women that run the place, not men. Books are clean, the department runs, they just don't understand instructions, but that's a man again. That's a man that was heading that delegation again. So if I have to, I don't know how much I can emphasize this fact that clearly there's a reason why this department works.
Well, Chair, the private sector last week, no, 2 weeks ago, I was invited to some other forum where private sector was showing their figures on women, and they invited us because they said that they wanted to find out what the recipe is for the Department of Environmental Affairs, which was interesting for private sector to want to benchmark against a department in government. So maybe there's something
there's a simple answer. You just say that this department needs to run with people with intelligence, and that's why women are running it. It's simple. Okay.
Chair, the only department that is performing better than us is the Department of Women, Children and People with Disabilities. They have more women. In terms of the BEE procurement, we have also exceeded the target in that regard. The public awareness program has also, the target has been exceeded. In terms of media share of media voice, we have just met the target. And then we have met the unqualified audit report and 98 expenditure as per our target. In terms of the key challenges, the biggest challenge was the delay in the finalization of the negotiations around the new DR building, the public-private partnership process, and that was mostly due to a very late change from the Treasury side to do a bigger part of upfront payment in this process to reduce the debt. And then the 2% people with disabilities is, we haven't met that target. We're taking this very seriously, and we now have a very targeted strategy in order to not only meet but exceed that target. Overall performance in terms of this program, 80% of the target has been met, and 20% has been partially achieved. With partially achieved, we mean that 75% plus of the target has been achieved. If it's less than 75%, we say it's not achieved. That is
how to achieve that one. You put all your men staff under the disabled. You'll immediately make up your make your numbers.
That was program one.
Is that all? Now look, there's two things that have been said this morning. Let me say it up front so that we can get it out the way. The one thing I've raised, well, we all have raised with the Department of Water, it's difficult to sit now and assess your targets, the reaching of your targets, when we were not a part of the process up front to decide those targets. Because, there may be good reasons for you putting that target, but there may also be bad reasons. I mean, if you put 55% here of market whatever share, we may feel that actually it should be 80. So what we're going to do is we've decided with Water, so it's going to be a joint venture. I think it's going to be in the first or second week of next year. We're setting aside a week to do two things. The one is to sit down with you and with the partner of Water and go through your targets you've set yourself and explain to us why you've set that target. So we can come to a decision that we also think it's justified. Obviously, the AG's office will be present as well. What I need you to do is do some preparatory work with the AG's office before that, so that you properly under each target come and say, this is the criteria we took in place, why our target is 50% or 20% or whatever. Okay, so that we'll set aside 2 days with the Department of Water to look at those things at the beginning of next year. So that at the end of the year, when we then assess those targets, it's much more meaningful. Because quite honestly, I must tell you, sitting here as chair and saying you've made your target, over and above that, I know how efficient you are, it does a question, you ask the question, well, were the targets set correctly? So we'll do that. The second thing we're going to do in that week, and it'll probably be a closed meeting, both of them, is that we want to sit with you and probably our two sister committees, Human Settlements and COCTA. And we want to sit down with you and the Water and look at what overlaps there are at local government level and what the problems are, what the capacity constraints are, and what is necessary for us. I mean, is it the legislative change we need? Is it an administrative issue? Is it the protocol we need to kind of hone? To try and sit down and look at both Water and Environment programs where they overlap with municipalities and see to what extent we can try and build a stronger cooperation at that level and how we help local government level. Now there, of course, I want you and the Water Affairs Department and hopefully COCTA and even Human Settlements to get together and start preparing for that. So that we can get a meaningful engagement around it, on those issues. Which will also be better because you see, if I look at both your departments, there's a lot of stuff you say, we did this with municipalities, we did this. But it's like in a vacuum. You can't work out how it's working, to what extent it's working, and et cetera, et cetera. So somewhere in the next year, in the beginning, in January, we'll be doing those two things with you. And I need you guys to, with the AG's office, to prepare properly for these things. Starting with the targets and then the overlap between us and local government. So those are the two things we already can get out of the way. If anything is not clear or if any of the committee members wants to add to those two before I open up, anyone? Happy with that? Okay. All right. Any questions, comments on the first program? Seems relatively simple. The only real thing that's been held up is the building project. But maybe it's good that that thing doesn't go too fast. Too fast, too many problems later. Maybe it's better we do it slowly and make sure the Treasury is on board all the time. Anything else? Nothing? Okay, program two.
Thank you, Chair.
Ah!
Chair, I'm going to start an organization. It's called MAMA. Men Against Men Abuse.
Who says I'm not a woman?
In terms of our key achievements for Program 2, Chair, for the first one, we've achieved 100% in terms of our target. There were 58 incidents or complaints reported, and we processed all of them. Our target for the year was 75% in respect of those. In terms of our training of environmental management inspectors, in terms of...
Those are green scorpion stuff,
yes.
When you say complaints.
Yes, Chair. Our target was 60. We've exceeded it considerably there. In terms of the environmental impact management training, there we had a target of 50. We've exceeded the target there as well. In terms of our air quality monitoring stations, we had a target of 42 stations reporting to the South African Air Quality Information System. We've got 60 monitoring stations reporting currently. Next slide. In terms of the challenges, Chair, in terms of the number of facilities that needed to be inspected, our target was 70 there. We only managed 46 for the year. Then the target in terms of the amount or percentage of paper and packaging recycled, as well as setting recycling targets for the lighting industry and also tires being recycled, there we haven't met the target as well. There was a decision by the industry basically to review the integrated waste management plans. And also after that process, it was decided that regulations are in fact needed before we proceed with that. In terms of the baseline establishment for the recovery of the waste streams, this took a bit longer than anticipated, and we didn't meet our targets there as well. With regard to processing of environmental authorizations, our target was 89.
Anticipated with an A.
Yes. I'm not sure who drafted that, Chair. Wasn't me. Probably a woman. But anyway.
You're walking on thin ice, my friend. You're walking on thin ice.
We have to try and save our money in some small way, Chair. Chair, in terms of the number of environmental authorizations, it was anticipated that we'd receive about 400 for the year. We actually got in the region of about 689, and that's the main reason why that particular target hasn't been met. In terms of our strategy, the project, we also didn't meet the target fully. The costing of the Theme 1 report for the strategy exceeded the anticipated amount. Amount is also 1M, not 2MC.
You see this processing of environmental authorizations, you met 89% because you received many more than you expected. That kind of thing we'll have to examine. And also, the 11% you didn't meet, how important are they to the economy? I mean, you can meet 89%, which are neither here nor there. There can be, in the 11% can be vital projects that are stopping whole kind of developments that are necessary. So this is why I want the beginning of next year for these things for us to look at much more closely, how these targets are made up and how they are met or not met, and actually to add some targets here. I want to know, for example, what's the meaning of the 11%? What kind of applications are there? Because they can be the really important ones.
Well, just to give a bit of perspective on that, most of the additional applications were, in fact, for renewable energy. So it is crucial for us to actually have processed those. In terms of the 11%, that's also, in some instances, reports that we haven't received and that kind of thing, and that's why they haven't been processed completely. Next slide, please. In terms of this particular branch, 58% was on target and achieved, 31% still in progress, and the 11% not achieved there is off target.
Is that it? Second program? Any comments? Any questions? The what?
Okay, thanks, Chief. In terms of the South African Weather Services, the key achievements, the South African flash flood guidance system with the addition of the hydro estimator was achieved as planned. The operational severe weather warning system for South Africa was also achieved. The new satellite-based precipitation estimation technique using 3 MSG satellite channels to enable issuing heavy rain and flash flooding warnings was also achieved. They achieved a 72% improved accuracy of maximum temperature and 24-hour forecast.
Doesn't seem to up the Zoom.
The SACWIS phase 1 was fully developed and implemented. There's a number of stations reporting to the ambient module of phase 1 of SACWIS, and that's grown to 150. In terms of the financial performance, they've done well, despite the 6% increase in their grant revenue. They also obtained ISO 9001 certification. Next slide. Also, continuing with the achievements, the major construction work for the radar network project has been completed. They participated in the pre-COP 17 activities in the provinces. Their participation was extended to the conference. They demonstrated the role and relevance of SOARS in terms of weather and climate matters. They also launched the SOARS alumni program and opened the Kinshasa weather office. They awarded bursaries, 85% of their bursaries were awarded to beneficiaries from previously disadvantaged backgrounds. The Meteorological Training Institute of the South African Weather Services was recognized as a regional training center.
You don't know what WMO stands
for. World Meteorological Organization, Chair. I was at the meeting when they had the interaction at the college. Okay, they've displayed a leadership role as the meteorological, I can't pronounce that one, association in South Africa in the southern region, southern African region. Yeah. They've had severe weather warning roadshows in all the provinces at municipalities affected by weather hazards, and the overall organizational performance is at an average of 84%.
Were you going to deal with its financial stuff? Did they get an unqualified report?
Yes.
I thought that will be the first success.
All the entities, Chair, got unqualified reports, and Weather Services is here. They can also answer the questions, Chair.
You're answering the questions on their behalf.
All right, we will answer them.
They here just as passengers.
Okay.
So you haven't you, on your entities, you haven't got financial section that you deal with the finances?
But we do have their annual reports, so we can talk to them.
We get the annual
reports. We can do that. Yes, they were tabled together, Chair.
Why do we have copies? We don't have copies. Mm-hmm. We must get copies for the members of all the annual reports of the entities. I mean, they should also have their annual reports. Okay, they got an unqualified report. Any questions, any comments? Seems like the real bosses on weather in the area. They don't help us anything instead of, you know, helping us with our problems, but, I mean, they're there.
I still want to go through some of their challenges, Chair.
Challenges?
Yeah, there were a few.
I thought you finished. You're sitting there so happy as if you think you're finished.
I was waiting for you to finish, Chair. Chair, there was a decrease in the government grant, as I said earlier, of 6%. There was also various challenges in terms of their commercialization. They have high fixed costs with low reproduction costs, impacting on their ability to commercialize. They have limited capacity or capability to address their unstated market because most of their clients believe everything should be free. There's also international competition from the private weather services that use freely shared data and global models to provide services at a marginal cost, and that doesn't allow SOARS to compete economically. In terms of the infrastructure recapitalization, There's an inability to maintain the infrastructure to keep up with technological advancement. For example, high-performance computing to replace an old supercomputer. There's also been an extension of their mandate. There's a need for them to increase the respond to water management issues and also to focus more on building capacity in their hydrometeorology. Yeah, that's the one.
The word that stands.
Yeah. Metrology. Thank you, Vito. There's also the need to enhance services to the agricultural sector and to build capacity in agrometrology. I think they did this on purpose, Chair. The need to positively contribute to the climate change policy discourse. SACWIS is also a bit of a challenge for them, and the research development to support additional applications for various sectors, for example, health. That's the presentation, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions, comments? This is both program 2 and source. Nothing? All right. Now we come to the scary input on oceans with all their pictures about water warming and doubling and cooling.
Chair, honorable members, the key achievements of program 3 are as follows. Draft green paper on oceans management policy was developed as planned, and Chair Cabinet has approved that it can now be released for public.
Hallelujah!
And we.
It took a long time!
We would be able to brief the committee at when it is convenient for the committee.
The draft, if it's been passed by Cabinet, then you must get a copy to us quickly so we can put it on our program for next year for hearing.
It will get gazetted on Friday, Chair. But we will.
Get a copy to Chileka, quickly.
The draft estuary management protocol was reviewed and also approved by Cabinet for public comment, and the document will now be finalized on the 31st of March. 3 relief voyages were undertaken as planned, and research on methodology for shark and whale population estimation completed. That may look simple, but in fact, both these groups of animals are migratory, so they move all over the world, and it's quite tricky then to get a handle on their numbers.
Are they animals?
Yes. Sharks and whales.
Animals, that's interesting. Don't tell my
And Chair, the biannual state of the oceans report was compiled as planned. And lastly, with the
have we seen that? Are we going to be the last to see it again? As your usual, by your usual practices.
No, it feeds into the state of the global environment report, Chair.
I think this report must come with that green paper. You'll understand the green paper better if you understand the state of the oceans report.
And lastly, Chair, we've been able to produce 25 peer-reviewed publications. As far as key challenges are concerned, we were supposed to declare the Prince Edward Marine Protected Area, and objections were raised during the consultation process in relation to the area targeted for declaration of the MPA. And that resulted in a delay because we had to convince the fishing fraternity that it was correct to declare the MPA in that area or in about that area.
And you convinced them?
We've convinced them and moved the targeted area a little bit, but we do not think we've lost anything that we had intended to achieve. Last year, the needs analysis and system design for the South African Ocean and Coastal Information System was also delayed, and this was due to us not having the expertise to do it. But we are working quite hard on it now, and we think we'll meet our target this year. Thanks, Chair.
You've met 76%. That oceans unit. action for so long, now you're achieving 76. Huh? I'm going to check this. You've obviously got low targets. Questions, comments? Mr. Morgan?
Thank you. If you could, I mean, you're a new department, new division. I am interested at the moment. I mean, firstly, well done on producing your green paper. It's good to see it, but well done. The thing I'm interested in really is really if there's actually any enforcement substance behind this division. I understand that you've had to obviously form yourself and do some policy analysis, but to what extent actually is there an enforcement component? So, for example, how many inspectors do you have in your employ during this financial year to actually go out and do the nitty gritty of enforcing law? And if it's insufficient, what plans are there to increase the enforcement capabilities with regards to your department?
Any others? Okay.
Chair, it is correct that we do not have an enforcement unit in the cluster sense. And enforcement work on some of our activities is done by other agencies. To give an example, we have to protect the integrity of marine protected areas. And for that, we have had contracts with other organizations such as SANParks, such as Ezenbelo, and so on. It is also true that we do not have capacity to deal with pollution, but we have the use of the Department of Agriculture, Forestry, Fisheries vessels via a memorandum of understanding that we have with them. Chair, we are looking to develop enforcement and compliance capacity in the single branch that is now headed by Sham Abadan, who will then provide compliance and enforcement for the rest of the department. But it is correct to say at the time we have in
what are your plans in that regard and for when?
Chair, we've already started the process. We're restructuring the compliance and enforcement and centralizing all the compliance and enforcement functions under one branch. So each of the line functions.
Yeah, but there's nothing here. So I'm asking,
yeah,
when are you planning to create that capacity for oceans?
Well, we've already started discussions around that, Chair, and we're busy deciding how many enforcement officials we actually need for that function within oceans and coasts.
So you're telling me the budget that's being agreed with now, this is not in it?
No.
So it's another year?
Yeah.
Is that a good thing?
Can I say that we have at least, we have appointed about 3 people to help. Is it 2? Okay, that are already working on the enforcement capacity plan for this area. And I think with the we are considering within the resources that we have to put capacity in the next financial year to actually begin the enforcement work. It might not be adequate, but it's a start for us.
You don't have a specific budget for it.
We don't have
you're
a
specific. You're going to have to use from your other budget.
Yes.
And then start some capacity. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's what we are doing.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
Want to add something, Mr. Abada? Is that it?
No, Chair. The DG's covered it. Chair, I know you're kind of looking back, but some of these questions are inevitably have to look forward. I'm interested, can you just talk us through current relationship, and you alluded to it yourself, with the Department of Agriculture, Forestry, and Fisheries. What, in fact, are you doing
for them at the moment? And linked to that, what scientific capacity do you have currently? I mean, I understand that you probably contract some of it out, but what scientific capacity do you have within the department at the moment? And just with regards to my DAF question, whatever you're doing, when did it actually start?
Okay.
Chair, I'm not sure that I understand the question about DAF.
Yes.
But I think one day we'll come back, but I think what I understand the Honourable Member to be asking, in terms of our current relationship with DAF, do we have work that we do for DAF, and do we have work that they do for us? And for the work that we do for DAF, when did that start? And I think maybe I can preface the answer by saying that when we transferred functions, the fisheries functions to DAF, I signed a memorandum of agreement with DAF based on the fact that they would provide us with services on enforcement based on the ships and also on some aspects of research. And when the ships became not dysfunctional for whatever reason, we have then not received a service. However, we have one vessel that we use and which we needed for research purposes. We requested that it be transferred back to the department so that we then continue with our research work in that regard. So I think Monde, in responding to the scientific capacity, you can then also confirm the arrangement, the current arrangement, which happened now in September.
Thank you, Chair DG. Yes, to confirm that what DG said, that we do share some facilities with the DAF. We share some laboratories in the Fortress building, and some of their laboratories are based on our space, and we've allowed them to use it because we also use the same laboratories. We also have an environmental research working group in which they also participate. We also, even in international engagements, cooperate with them. As far as the scientific capacity is concerned, we have about 18 research staff, about 80 research plus technical staff, and it is due to their efforts that we've been able to produce 23 peer review papers. It can never be said that the research capacity is adequate. We would like to have some more, but we are able to hold our heads, and Chair, we're comparable to other organizations, the research organizations in the country. Thanks.
Mr. Morgan?
DG, can I get clarity on that? You said that the ship has been transferred. Does that mean it's on your balance sheet now? And who is actually running that ship for you? I mean, do you have in-house competency there, or have you is that an outside contract that is running that particular ship?
Chair, I may go maybe a little far, but I will. The two ministers met and agreed in May, the and they agreed that the vessel Algoa would be transferred.
That's the one that was in the news that didn't have staff or something. The Goshen. That's the one.
No,
No, I thought that's why you took it over. I thought that the other minister said there wasn't staff, it was a ghost ship or something. Okay, now go ahead then. I must have read something. I must have watched one of Johnny Depp's movies.
The two departments, the two ministers then agreed to the transfer, and the two director generals effected the transfer, so the vessel is now under DIA management. At the moment, the vessel is in dry dock, and it is being managed by the same company that manages our other vessel, the S.A. Agalas II.
And the staff?
No, we took its footsteps without capacity, without money.
Oh, it's right. You see, it's the one that's the ghost ship. I knew there was a staff on this thing.
So... I mean, for us, we've had to weigh what is the value. Do we wait until that vessel completely, the scientists tell me that if the vessel is not in operation for a certain period of time, it then ends up being a useless piece of equipment. And therefore, on the basis of the life that we can still get out of the Algoa and the important work that we require from it, we then thought it valuable that we should save the state resources and take over the vessel. And if at another point with DAF there is a need to further cooperate and they have staff that can follow the vessel, we would be happy to welcome that, but that was not part of the agreement. So we said we would take it footsteps and...
Have you got a budget to staff it now?
We have put a request to Treasury for budget together with the budget for maintaining the S.A. Agalas. For now, it was not favorably considered, but we'll see when the final budget allocation comes to effect, whether we...
Completely right.
Sorry, they are right.
I was right.
Yes.
This is the ghost ship.
Yeah. Well, I just...
Still trying to look for money for staff.
Yeah. We will be able to, for now, within reprioritization of budget, work out the plan, right? This year we will be able to... run with the vessel if it is available after the dry docking period. We have work that is suffering as a result of that. The deployment of buoys, which has got other international partners who have an interest in, has not happened because our program was that those would have been deployed in the course of the year when the vessels were still functional under DAF, but when they were then put to a place where they could not be used, we then have had to suffer in terms of our program activities. So hopefully before the end of this year it should be back and ready for execution of its duties. So it came into our books, I think, for the AG's benefit. I have signed in because it's now part of our assets. I've signed it at the end of September, so it will be reported when we report our annual report next year. Thanks, members.
I think members should remember that we can make suggestions about the budget. And I think that this is maybe one asset we should transfer to the committee. I think we can use a boat. Well, for work, you know, in general, and there's the odd pleasure cruise as well. In fact, now we can use it for our committee meetings. It's better than being on a dry dock. You'd rather use the boat for committee meetings. I mean, imagine. I mean, look at this small room to have the whole public there to come and listen to all these green papers. On the boat, we can really... Please consider it. I'm amenable. as chair to put it in the report. The vote comes to us. Okay. I hope you're happy with that, DG. That will be the recommendation from this committee. If the parties will just go and consider it. We won't really worry about that. Whether it's dry, whether it's wet, we'll take it. Okay, so that's a recommendation, Shireen. You can put that in the committee report, okay? Yeah, now we'll need someone to manage it for us. So you can. Actually, it'll be good. We can then go and visit other parliaments, other environmental committees. Yeah, it's very good. Particularly in Lesotho. Now I made arrangements with that committee to meet with them so we can go with the boat. Okay. All right. Any other comments or questions on this one? It seems that at last Oceans has woken up. The slumbering giant. And we've got a green paper. I want us to process that in the coming year. And just remind me to put it on the program. See if we can get some. In fact, as soon as we get it, we must get ask for press statements. First, get a press statement out to ask for. So, Shireen, you can get us a draft the press statement for us, okay?
Do you want the government comments period on the
day? Give it a bit more because it's December. And if you don't give it more, then we will be doing public hearings while you finish with yours next year. So give it a proper time for comment. You can take a proper document back to Cabinet. Okay. All right. Okay. So that's further work. And then we want that report of yours as well, the biannual one. It will help us understand the green papers. Okay. Okay. Next program for climate change. Who's doing it? Ms. Bowman?
Sure, I'm doing it. This one will be short, and shorter than the previous one.
Your target's even less than the others.
I wouldn't really say so, but Chair, in terms of key achievements, last year, as you know, was quite a challenging year for the climate change team and the many people that were part of the process of finalizing the white paper on the National Climate Change Response Policy, which was approved and gazetted in October last year. Also, in addition, in preparation for COP17, there were 9 climate change provincial conferences or summits, and I think this was really the first time that there was an extensive process of engagement, not only on climate change implementation issues, but also on the international negotiations and South Africa's position going into COP17. So there was an extensive process of engaging with the issues.
Hey, someone was asleep when they typed this stuff. Provincial conference is left out. COP is with a question mark, it's an exclamation mark. Which COP was that? I didn't.
That was 17.
Oh, and with an exclamation mark.
And possibly the exclamation mark is appropriate in this instance. I think we all felt exclaimed by the end of it. So a third achievement here was the Climate Change Response Expo, which was successfully hosted alongside COP17 over those challenging days between the 28th of November and something like the 8th of December in 2011. Additional achievement that year was the Climate Change Sector Adaptation Plans, which were really really part of the process of engaging with national departments in identifying what the key sectoral issues are and key sectoral approaches in responding to climate change. Some of the key challenges...
What does that mean when you say they finalize?
Well,
because last time when we had the work, the week-long workshop, clearly there was no work done. So you say since then they finished their plan, their adaptation plan.
Well, Chair,
what does that mean if you say finished it?
Chair, this was a real first round in starting to engage with what adaptation would mean within the sectoral context. And the work that is being done now, which is a much more in-depth process of developing long-term adaptation scenarios, builds on that initial piece of work. So I think it was important that the federal department started that process of thinking of what are the implications in their policies and plans of potentially in the future needing to build in climate change adaptation strategies. I think there is a recognition that it was initial work. But going into COP17, it was an important piece of work because it was part of the dialogue and the start of the systematic thinking within a sectoral context. In terms of what it means as to whether they were finalized, well, it really meant that they were signed off by their departments, because this is one of those processes in which the lead department leads, but it leads within the framework that is being provided and guided by the Department of Environmental Affairs and Tourism. So there's an interesting relationship there, and it's a continued dynamic which we are needing to build on. This year, it's even a more interesting dynamic in the context of mitigation, which is a more contentious area of work. But in some cases, it has taken the sector departments a bit of time to actually sign off.
Have we seen or been exposed to these plans? I mean, we meaning the committee. I don't recall it, so I'm trying to work out where these finalized plans are. Because you will remember that workshop was a one big
jamboree.
We're still busy with it, and we're not. And I'm like a bit just taken aback with saying that there are four departments that finished there. I mean, particularly the Department of Water.
Yeah.
You say that their adaptation plan is finished.
Well, Chair, if I can, it's an initial plan. That's all it is. And what we are now doing is working closely with the Department of Water Affairs and using, for example, their water reconciliation strategies, using the work that they have done on their water resource strategy, which is currently out for public comment, using their water scenario planning work to input into the long-term adaptation scenarios. So perhaps. Well, I emphasize again, it's an initial set of plans. Most of the content of that was presented at the workshop, but I think it was more an extract from the plans that was presented. My suggestion is that we, at the follow-up of the hearings, that we actually ask departments to present those plans and any additional work that they have done. Probably the most detailed is water and to a lesser extent agriculture. The biodiversity plan is quite a thorough plan. Yeah, done by the South African National Biodiversity Institute.
Sandy.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I'll move on to the key challenges. I suspect there might be a further question lurking there. On the next slide, you will see that there were challenges in making the kind of progress that I think was initially expected on the long-term adaptation scenarios. But the reality is that with the COP17, with the white paper, and with the climate change provincial summits last year, there was some work that did not get as far as it needed to go. And so this year we are now focusing on that. Another piece of work that we're now pushing extensively this year is finalization of a climate change toolkit that supports the local authorities in their work in integrating climate change response into their integrated development plans, their IDPs. So we're working quite closely with COCTA, with SALGO, with ICLEI, and with the local authorities. It's a rollout of this toolkit. That toolkit was in fact presented at the hearings. You may recall it. I think we delayed it until the last day, so that we could present it with COCTA. So the toolkit work is now being focused on and rolled out. And
needed more time anticipated.
Anticipated. I think the light must have been low when this when
same word spelled wrong twice. DG's quality control is not there anymore. On process. On progress. What is it? He's still on process.
It's still in process.
In process. As it's required more than anticipated. Okay.
Okay.
Now that we all got the English right, now we can understand what we're saying. Okay. Next one.
Okay. And then, Chair, I must say that the second national communication is not a key challenge. That should be an achievement because that was done and that is uploaded on the UNFCCC website.
We got that one.
Yes, that was
thick one, the little thin one.
It was quite a thick document.
Thick one, and then there's a summary.
And a summary. And
so we received it.
Yeah, and that really represents a snapshot of the state of knowledge in respect of South Africa's climate change response, and it includes the greenhouse gas inventory. And we're now working on third national communication, which is due in 2016, but obviously the work has to be initiated now. And we've already...
There was a briefing on that before. If you want to have it closed, you can have it closed, but I think this time we should have it. We have not had a briefing on either of the first two ones beforehand.
Mm.
We hear about it later.
Okay.
This time I would expect that when you've taken it through all your processes,
certainly,
we get a briefing first. So it's up to you, DG. Let us know.
Certainly. And Chair, also to say that we are already making progress on the updated greenhouse gas inventory. The one study that did not really happen last year was a focus on greenhouse gases within the transport sector. And it was, I think, a case of the target being too ambitious in the sense that the real focus of the work on mitigation potential analysis per sector, and that's in the energy sector, the industry sector, transport, agriculture, that work is now being done. And as I presented at the workshop in July or June, we're now doing that detailed mitigation potential analysis work, and as soon as we've got some at least concrete outputs on that, we would be ready to present to you. That work culminates in the definition of desired emission reduction objectives per sector. And then ultimately in an analysis of what measures would be needed.
That will be each sector's budget.
Well, a budget is one of the possible measures. And we need to look at what instrument, what measure would be most appropriate in achieving those emission reduction objectives that would be set per sector. And a carbon budget might be particularly relevant for one of those sectors. But we're recognizing the carbon budget as one of the possible instruments. There could be other fiscal instruments.
You put her in foreign affairs.
I was doing international negotiations.
I can see. Very, there's not ifs and buts. There must be a budget. Not one of the, maybe of the, and we may still consider.
There must be
a budget. Full stop.
Sure, it really depends on the most efficient, most effective means of achieving the emission reduction objective. That is the bottom line. And of course, we have the carbon tax, the revised discussion document will be out soon. It's, I think, going through cabinet in the next 2 weeks or so, 3 weeks. And so that will be one of the instruments. That's a cross-cutting instrument. So we need to look at what measures, what instruments we can package together to most effectively and most efficiently achieve the reductions that are needed. So that's why I'm placing the carbon budget as one of the possible tools, and it's not diplomacy, Honourable Chair.
I'm looking at you.
Okay. Thanks, Chair. And then the chart, which is on the next slide, shows a bit of red there. If we could just go to the next slide. It's a pie chart.
Oh. He's so excited now by a budget. He's very excited by the budget.
I wonder whether he's writing a note to me or a note to the Honourable Chair. So Chair, there is some red there.
Why so much?
Well, I think it relates to the fact that on our challenges we did not quite make the progress expected on those three areas, and in the calculation. That's how it got to 23%. We are certainly working hard this year in ensuring that, firstly, that our targets are realistic, achievable, and that we achieve high. Thank you.
23 and 32 is 55.
The tricky thing there is that I think there was so much energy that went into both the COP17 and the white paper.
I'm trying to think we've achieved so much in the last year. If this is all that we can produce in terms of green and what is, what targets have we then set ourselves to get this kind of result when this has been something that's functioned relatively well?
Mm.
But okay. Questions, comments? You want a question and comment, okay.
No, Chair, I think one of the things that we are discussing generally is that in calculating those percentages, we are not weighting the target. So we just say there's 27 targets and then just do a percentage. And I think the issue that you raise is that something like the white paper should weigh more than one plan not produced on time, and that would sort out if we add a weighting to the different targets.
That's the kind of stuff I want to discuss in general. Did you?
I was to say, Chair, it's an honest reflection of what we had in our plan. So we.
Now, I have no doubt about that. All I'm just saying is, like, last year was like a successful year.
It was
a successful year. If you get 55% that you haven't achieved, then you kind of think, what is it that we're doing? Then somehow there's something not right.
Yeah.
It may not be something big, but it may just be, as Ms. McCord's saying, maybe it's because we don't weigh all our targets in a certain way that we if we have a meeting with someone, we say we wanted 50 meetings or 50 training sessions, we give that the same weight as a white paper, then clearly there's something wrong.
I also think, Chair, the other factor is that the international negotiation is not reflected in there. It's in the report that will come. So that's also a factor. But in for this year, for this financial year, those are together.
And don't worry, it's just an observation.
Okay.
I'm just surprised.
All right.
I'm surprised when I look at the summary to see what it is. Comments, questions? Mr. Morgan, no. Ms. Benga, no. Charlie, no. Dr. Fung. Ferguson. Ms. Andania, nothing. Right. Oh, you make a comment. Fine.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I just want to make two comments. I think we just have to also remember that last year was also the year of building the new branch of climate change. And I think that in the planning processes where the targets were set, we dreamt beyond what was probably realistic in terms of national implementation issues, not the international. The second comment, maybe just for the committee to bear in mind that in broad terms, in approaches to mitigation, there are three broad categories of approaches to mitigation. One is market-based, which is the budget. A second kind of approach is regulatory in nature, so you can publish regulations that all new buildings will have solar water heaters. So it's got nothing to do with the budget or a market-based. And a third kind of approach is incentive-based and voluntary kind of approaches. So what I think that the white paper did is that it did not want to specify that all sectors and all sources and all gases would be treated with one approach called a market-based approach or a budget-based approach. We wanted to retain the flexibility to use the most appropriate instruments or mix of instruments for each sector, and not exclude.
I totally understand that.
Yeah, thanks.
The missionary talk just worries me. Missionary kind of presentation, diplomatic missionary, worries me as if we're backing down. I know the fact that we've got all three.
Yeah.
I know that we're going to get a balance.
But we'll say the non-missionary approach should be done by you.
But what we should be saying is that clearly budget will be a part, but to what and to where is different. I don't think we should create the impression that budgets may not be something we want to go for. I mean, in some sectors, that's going to be very, very important. Other sectors, of course, may not be important at all. It may not be worth a while. But in your ESCOMs and your transport sector, there's no way that can't be one of the mechanisms we use, plus tax and issues, plus incentives. All of them. That's all I'm saying. As I say, she's a diplomat, that's all. It's a very diplomatic way of saying things. There's no one now, no side can now say that she's biased. They won't be able to say that of me. You see, they'll say, no, that guy is biased. He's very clearly, he knows what must be there. No, she's a diplomat. She's there, so that's fine. Okay, that's it. We also have to back down from our big plan sometimes. Our whole big plan was to see for 2 weeks, 1 week in the first part of the year, to go through this stuff, but it was clear to me that in that first week we had, that it's just not worth it to set aside a whole week of committee work to try and go through that, because people just wouldn't have done things yet, the departments. So I imagine that probably our next meeting will be one where just Ms. Beaumont comes and reports and tells us what's happening in all the departments and how far we progressed from the last workshop. And then at some stage we'll have to assess when we have another week of looking at everything, which at this stage I kind of loosely think should be again next July, more or less. It's about a year that we've given. But in between, we'll get reports from you. So you need to stay on top of the issues that you can report to us what's happening in those departments and to make sure that they work. There's no use coming back in July and we're back again where we were last year. Okay, nothing is that. So I think that that'll be the program for us going forward, okay? I have set down a day, I think, in the last week of this term, but I haven't discussed with the committee yet, but I think we should change our program for November, that after our hearings on the water resource strategy, we probably should use the rest of the term to deal with NEMA, to go with on with those discussions, because clearly that's one of our strong priorities. And all these briefings we wanted to receive in November, we'll probably move them to January and February. It was things like the report back on the rhino poaching workshop, report back on the waste strategy discussions we had, this one, the tire. So all those briefings we were in November, but I'm going to suggest to the committee that I think once we finish with the water strategy, we should spend the rest of the term discussing NEMA so we can get some progress on that bill as well. Because there's some very complex, which Mr. Abada means that all that homework you were given, I trust that's been done. For example, the expansion of your work under that one clause, taking over the whole kingdom here in the Western Cape and so on. You know, your expansion ideas you have as a department. Whether all that research has been done and so on and so on. So that's important that that gets done. Else we're going to have to close down our discussions on NEMA until that work's done. So just remember that. Our progress on NEMA depends on whether you've done your homework. Because the more complex issues, we have to make tough decisions there, okay? All right, that's the fourth program. The fifth program, Biodiversity and Conservation. Is that you, ma'am?
Good morning, Chair, and good morning,
Honourable Members. What's your surname again? Have you got that complex surname?
Mandivenye.
Yeah, that's a difficult one. What is it, sorry?
Mandivenye.
Mandivenye.
Yes.
I'm trying to remember who I speak to. Okay, ma'am, it's you. I'll just call you ma'am. It's easier to try and get your surname.
Yes.
Huh? I don't call people by their names. I only call Mr. Abada by his name.
I think ma'am is appropriate. Thank you, Chair.
No, that's fine. That's fine, ma'am. Go ahead.
Program 5, Biodiversity and Conservation. Our key success for the year, our target was to bring the area under conservation to 6.9%, and we were able to achieve 7.3%. We finalized.
What have we added?
We've added 9,000 hectares.
Where?
A lot in the some areas of Western Cape through stewardship programs, and a bit more in the Free State.
Free State?
Yeah, around the Gulf.
There's one big fat piece of land there. Yeah.
And the Gulf.
If you look there, you can actually see yourself. You see the future there.
It's an important bio.
So Western Cape and Free State, you've added 9,000.
And a smaller pockets of land around the country. Then we finalized 5 management plans for wetlands of international importance. We achieved the target on our work on environmental compliance for GMO applications. We had a target of 800 hectares of land rehabilitated and conserved, and through our cooperative governance structures, we were able to get a target of 31,000 hectares of land rehabilitated. And then we had 100% of our CITES applications. These are the ones that are for state agencies. Received and evaluated, and the same with applications for threatened and protected species.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that is the part. That's the 100%.
So, yes. So this is the core work of the branch itself, and then I'll move on to the work that's done in association with our public entities.
That looks nice. That looks like a real fat man. Another one had his jaw so wide he stretched under the previous one. This looks like a real fat man eating up the yellow and red. Okay, go ahead.
And so I think the 6% is the work on some of the poaching work and the things that we're still struggling to get right.
Is that the baby rhino there, the red?
Yes.
Terrible.
And the permitting system.
Okay. I hope that Mr. McIntyre is not getting a bonus this year. I'm telling you, out. That red is there with the baby rhino dying. It's no bonus.
Then I will now move on to, we have three public entities that support the work of the branch, and the first one is South African National Park. They managed to achieve a clean audit. They were able to raise the visitor numbers above the target. The number of domestic black visitors, they almost made the target, which was 400,000. The customer satisfaction...
Yes, that's low.
It's
10% of the people visiting are black. 90% are white.
The customer satisfaction index, we managed to achieve 77%. The target was 78.3%, so we just failed to reach that target. The total number of free access entrants to the national park, the target was 14,000, and we managed to get 18,000.
Who is that?
This is during September for the National Parks Week, during Heritage Month.
Yeah, but what kind of people are there?
It's anybody. It's anyone. Anyone can walk into the national parks during that week.
See, that, I rather want you to start using that for black visitors, for women, for children, to get them into those parks so they can also experience these things.
That's the 400,000. And that's the number we want to carry on increasing, because we also have the people in parks intervention.
But I'm saying, you know,
for the
free black visitors.
Okay.
One of the ways to do it is to use free access to reduce costs, particularly the communities around these parks.
Okay.
I mean, they're the most obvious people that should be going there, but they're the poorest of the poor. So free access becomes very important. To use it not for everyone, because then you'll again 90% whites go. I mean, the free access should be for people living around the park, these parks, like the Kruger or Svangeliso. Those communities around them are very, very poor. So you must try and use free access to get those communities to come in and get in there. And of course, then the black tourists that are probably your middle class blacks that are there, they're going to increase generally. But the only way we're going to increase properly and in a meaningful way black access to the parks is the people that live around the parks. They must have free access at least, say, once a month or twice a month. Anyone, and then you must work out a system how to do that. I mean, if the people are from a school there, it's easy. The school can give the children a thing. If it's from grown-ups, you can work out a system. How do we work out who the people that live around the parks, so they can get in there for free? We must encourage these things. That's the only way we're going to get more land for parks, is if the ordinary people have a use for it. If they don't have a use, why the hell do they want to give land to conservation? They rather want to use it for farming. So I'm just trying to say, I think you guys must be much more, Sandparks must become much more aggressive with this thing. I mean, this thing that we only cater for people that have money, is they, of course, our source of income that we need, and we must get them there and have a nice experience. But we have to start reaching out mainly to black, poor, and even white poor South Africans that live around these parks. I mean, if they're white ones, there is a growing number of those even. But we must start doing something about this. We really must. I mean, conservation can't be a white thing. It is a white thing. It is. At the moment, in this country, it's white. Anywhere you go. So we must find you guys in Sandparks. We must tell Sandparks they must start waking up. And Easy Smugglers. This thing must start. They do a lot of good stuff. But this thing about getting blacks into the parks that live around the parks, this must start happening, okay? Next year I want to see these figures. In fact, January, I'm going to give you targets. I'm going to think about how high I want to put those targets. They're going to be high. You get those black people that live around the parks to get into those parks for free. Come enjoy it so that they can start learning. So we can get those people that are the ones that are interested to go in this field of work as well. I mean, blacks can't just keep on being warders and rangers and the guys there. They must be start managing these parks. We must get people exposed to these things. Get them into this. Get the kids interested. So we can create those possibilities. Okay? This must be a big target in this sector. DG, this year. This year is going to be the year of the tsunami of black visitors to the parks. Tsunami, I'm saying. Not a wave, a tsunami. For free. And then we can start doing it. Okay?
Yes, I will relay the message.
You start getting buses. You hire some buses twice a month, three times a month. You tell the communities around there. Then you bring them, you go and fetch them in communities. You say, this week we'll come to community so-and-so. You go and fetch them in buses. Take them into the parks, because they haven't got cars to ride around in the cruiser park. So you take the buses, take them around. And the sandparks must be doing that, paying for it, for those communities around there. So we can get black people getting interested, learning about conservation. Okay? I want to see a huge increase this year. Huge.
Just to say, we do have a successful partnership with Pick and Pay on Kids and Parks. That brings school children through the system as well. And then in terms of the progress against...
But learn from where that place you went?
Walter Cecil?
No, that other place there where the... We went in the caves and stuff, walked up miles, and our legs almost broke off. Cradle of Mankind. There we went there. There are black kids, all school buses of kids there. They bring them there. These kids just are there learning all those things. And that's how we must go and find out how they do it. They've got a whole program of getting the kids involved and so on. They put money aside. Those kids come there. Whole school day, they come there, they learn. And how much you learn in that place? Huge, huge, huge stuff. That's what we're going to do in Sandparks and in Isis Mangaliso. Okay? But please, you guys must go and check Cradle of Mankind, how they do it. They do a lot of this stuff.
In terms of the management of the listed species, they were able to go above the targets and achieved 100%. The same with the implementation of the cultural heritage program. And I think that one is repeated. I can go to the next slide.
You give achievements, give the same thing twice.
Yes. They've implemented 90% of their climate change response program. And this is where some of the success comes from in terms of our earlier targets. The hectares they were able to add to the national parks, and then they had land rehabilitated for alien invasive species clearing above target, and the issue of trying to manage the rhino poaching and to look at the population counts there, and also the number of person days on temporary jobs created through the EPWP program and support to SMMEs, where they also exceeded their target. They had a target of 9 community-based socioeconomic initiatives implemented, and that was achieved. It created 135 permanent jobs and 735 temporary jobs, which was again...
The temporary jobs, not the poachers.
No, not in that area. And also then worked on improving the science base on which their decision making is done. So they had the publication of the Biodiversity and Scientific Research Report. Then there's a public awareness publication, the Sandparks Times newspaper, as well as a publication on their social responsibility report, which is just articulating how they intend to use their tourism levy. So this is the Sandparks. And in terms of their key challenges,
the key one really around the declining tourism revenue streams due to reduced visitor numbers, and that made worse by the flooding disaster earlier on. The issue of aging infrastructure in the parks, which results in increased customer complaints, and that was reflected in the customers' satisfaction results, which was slightly lower. The rhino poaching incidents continue to mar Sand Park's progress, and particularly in Kruger. The inadequate recapitalization of the law enforcement capacity, it's very expensive, and we're busy working on the sustainability plan now on how we can resolve those issues. And then delays in the formalization of the Greater Lebombo Conservancy with Mozambique, and this has an impact also in our rhino response strategy in that part of the country. And then the budgetary constraints and the mandatory duties that are making it difficult.
There's one missing here. This committee wanted to visit Mapungubwe, and this sand park had such a big challenge they couldn't provide us with accommodation. I thought you'd put it here as a key challenge.
It's part of the aging infrastructure.
It's got nothing to do with aging infrastructure. It's got to do with lack of will. You can't accommodate your portfolio committee. I wonder what you can accommodate. This question I throw out to the DG as well and the COO. This committee has now not visited Mapungubwe, and we can't fight what is right there because we haven't seen what's going on. Because we weren't been able to be accommodated. I say no more. The committee will ask. I know Ms. Mangani is going to ask some questions. Sandy, okay, all right.
I can move on.
Challenges.
The achievements.
Achievements, so how are they to you? Okay, okay, go for the achievements.
Thank you. Five-yearly biodiversity assessment report was produced, showing us the state of our biodiversity. They were able to add an additional 20,000 hectares, which is land that they added onto our conservation estate. They worked on rehabilitation of 92 wetlands.
What is the assessment, National Biodiversity Assessment? What is that? What form is that?
I will bring copies to the committee. It's basically a comprehensive assessment of the country's biodiversity.
I keep on saying this, and I say it in the deepest presence and in, but not in her presence. I just don't understand when this department is going to learn to share things with this committee. I don't know why we have to come and sit here and listen to. I mean, now here's a five-year national diversity assessment. We don't get copies of this. We don't get told about it. So how do I know whether I should have hearings about it? Is it worth us learning about what's here? Is it gonna, and it just continuously happens. You guys must, DG, when you sign something and you say, give it to the minister to sign, one of the next things you must write, number two, on your list of comments and instructions is, please send copies to the portfolio committee or to parliament. You know, you guys must start doing this. Because a lot of good work, of course, we don't learn about. We just don't learn.
Yes.
I've never seen this thing.
It's on the way, Honorable Chair. We've only just printed it now.
You're reporting quickly on it now.
No, it was completed in the last financial year, but the process to print a glossy version that's palatable. But it's for everyone.
You guys must learn when you send things to your DG and COO, make one of your comments. When this has been approved, well, of course not beforehand, but when it's gone through all the processes, send a copy to Portfolio Committee of Parliament. And that's the only way your work's going to get out. The only way you're going to actually be able to tell the world what you're doing is if Parliament takes it up and says, okay, this is a good thing, let's have a look at this. Or this is a problem, let's hear what it is about. I mean, you know, another thing, Radhisa. How many reports have I had of Radhisa from this department? One fat
courts, you've landed in the courts, I read your court cases, I know what's going on. We've now asked for a briefing of it now in November. But the department has never come forward to say, committee, you may just want to know about this. You just may want to know. Because we, in the news the whole time, we're getting taken to court. It's the same thing. I don't fully understand what's the mental block. I'm trying to work out. There is a mental block somewhere to say, our partner is Parliament. How do we let them know about this?
Sure, we can improve certainly in that, but I thought most of these were part of the planned program for briefings, which were changed, because the waste management planning and retire.
But
I know that.
But don't use that as an example, because I asked for that briefing. You didn't come to me and say, yeah, we've got problems, yeah, we've had court cases.
Okay.
I asked for that, not you. And then we've moved it on because your department says you're not ready to brief us. Can you do it later? Ask Cornelia. She has asked us, please, let's not do it in September. Let's do it in October. And we've moved it. Then we had the public hearings with you. But you see, that is an example where I've asked for the information. Not I mean the committee. That's asked for the information. So, you know, I mean, it's just... The different units must learn that here's a good piece of work, an assessment on biodiversity. We do it every 5 years. Or that one on the biannual thing on the oceans. Here's a report. Once it's gone through all the executive structures, shouldn't that thing also just go, even if it's for information, to the committee? So the committee is aware that there's a report like that because they may want to have hearings on it. I mean, like the green paper on oceans. I've heard it all my life. I've heard of this thing. Today I hear it's been passed. I don't even know that it happened. But the point is, we don't get informed. We just... So when I work out our program, I don't know about these things. I just, when I look at the department, I just see one big black void. Just one void that's in there. It's called the department. It's not a thing that actually produces stuff that says, oh yeah, Chair, here's some stuff that we'd like you to know about. It's just a big void. It's like a hole there. It's like the ozone layer. You are the department. You're the ozone layer, the department. It's the ozone. It's one hole that sits there in the sky. It just doesn't produce stuff. It's only when we call it, then it comes through the hole. It comes here, then it tells us all these wonderful things when it comes through the hole. But the rest of the time, it's just a hole sitting there.
Improve, Chef. I think...
Not in my lifetime, Chair. Not in my lifetime.
No, certainly. Remember, Chair, you know, all the reports that we produced, we had in our presentation on the stage of the environment report, we then said to the committee, these are the reports that make that report. Say the state of the biodiversity, reporting oceans and even rivers and so on. And those are the inputs that then get taken into account. And we had agreed that we would have a workshop on the state of the environment report with those input documents. That's what we discussed a few months ago. So I think from a proactive stance, I think you are right. Maybe we are not then saying, yes, these things are ready. Can we have a discussion or at least find these for information? And our entities also certainly, because this is a SANBI document, or produced document, we would have to encourage a process through which they can then we can send you all the published documents or printed information that is critical for your understanding of what we are doing. We will improve, Chair.
I listen to you, but you see how my head goes. But we must start working on this, folks. You have got a department you can be proud of. They're not these things you don't have to hide away. When it sits there on your shelf, it sits on your shelf. This is part of our job, is to let the world know what it is we're doing on environmental stuff. And the only way we can know is if you tell us about it. Don't worry about the end product. Let us make the decision when we think it's worthwhile or not worthwhile. So these reports you guys must let come to us. Don't let us ask you for them. If there are issues, developments around Rhodesia, rather send us and let us know this is what's happening. We don't. I mean, honest. Any questions I've had about this thing, I just say, you want to know, go and ask the department. They've never cared to brief me. Go and ask them. Because that's the situation I find myself in. So you guys must be really, you want to be, if you want to have a partnership with us, you want to be partners with us, where we both respect each other and understand what each other are doing. We must find ways of getting these things to Parliament. Okay? Let's see a huge improvement. Just like we want more black people to go to the parks for free, the people living around it. Just like that, we also want more access to information as a committee. Please, I'm going to beg you. I'm going to go on my knees soon. Okay. All right. Is that Sandy? Let's get on with Sandy's thing.
Okay.
I think we're on the third point.
Yes, they have, through the Working for Wetlands program, rehabilitated 92 wetlands, employed 1,648 people, in terms of the EPWP program. The list of threatened terrestrial ecosystems was finalized. There's now a draft list of threatened river ecosystems that's being developed. And they provided the scientific input into the draft threatened and protected species list for regulation. And then they worked on...
When you say a draft list, what does that mean? You just make a list of it. Do they do something about it?
Yes, they do all the scientific assessment around the state of the species conservation.
And the river ecosystem.
The same with the rivers. They've been working on producing the criteria for the listing, and once they've done the criteria, they take it through a scientific process and produce a list. So up until the list is published, and we call it a draft list. So that's why it's still in draft form. And then there's the biodiversity management plan for Pelargonium, and also for the western leopard toad. One of their key achievements has been the Green Economy Think Tank, which they've convened twice as a forum for discussion and innovation on biodiversity economics. Then they've participated...
Where do they convene this?
Sorry?
Where do they convene this with who?
They convene it with other sectors, other participants in the sector, Sandparks, CSIR, ourselves, the wildlife industry, with a lot of stakeholders, but I think they have forgotten to include the portfolio committee in the list.
Surprise, surprise. There's one thing about this department that doesn't surprise me. And that's the exclusion of the portfolio committee. But others, all the others, that's a surprise.
So we will attend to that, Chair. And then they've also participated in the development of the National Freshwater Ecosystem Priority Areas Atlas. And there's a summary report which will produce a good starting point for addressing the water resource management for the country. They've seen a 7% increase in their own income received through the gardens specifically, and they've also seen a 2% annual increase in visitor numbers to the gardens, and also achieved an unqualified annual audit. Yes, and then their key challenges, it still is the over-dependence on donor funding to deliver their mandate, and they're still motivating for more money through the MTF. Then there's prioritization of their broad delivery mandate. So they're still trying to unpack and look at the best mechanism for achieving the mandate as stipulated in NEMBA, but also with the emerging priorities that come through sector documents like the National Biodiversity Framework.
and then they have a huge capacity constraint around the lack of natural scientists and key expertise, which is required. But there is now the biodiversity human capital development strategy and the biodiversity jobs fund, which is a mechanism that is being proposed to try and
this is the part when as entities provide bursaries.
Yes.
Those ones that they used to have under apartheid where they say we give you a bursary for 5 years and you come and work for us for 5 years or you pay back X amount.
Mm.
Is that how the bursaries work?
Not quite the same, but...
Then they're useless. If you don't force the people to come and work for you later, then it's useless to actually get them to go and study. Or it's less effective, at least. No, what you do is in your contract. I was a young white kid that came from a working class family. The only way I could ever go to university was with a bursary from the state. I was given a bursary, but they also made sure. They said, you come and work for us when you finish, or you pay back X amount of money. And I had to go back. I got through university like that. That's the only way you can do it. But then you make sure that those people come and work for you, at least for a few years afterwards. That must be the part of the conditions of the bursary. And if they don't, then there's a penalty that they pay for having used your bursary but not coming to work for you. You guys was really buckle up. You know, apartheid had most of it was bad, but there were one or two good things. They were very clever in the way they got their resources and retained their people that they wanted to get. And the one thing for particularly working class kids who do not have natural access to bursaries and so on, you go into these communities, you get the people that are doing well at school and so on, then you come and get them to work for the agencies. And that must be part of the conditions of the bursary. They must pay back something to society. And in the process, they get a job, which they're happier with, because most of them don't get jobs. I mean, look how many graduates, black graduates, are sitting here in these townships with law degrees and they can't get work. So, yeah, we are obliging ourselves and them to come to an agreement that they're going to come and work for us. If the bursary is 5 years, then you used to come and work back 5 years of it. And if you don't, in lieu of that, you pay this amount of money. So if they don't want to, they can buy out, but then they have to pay for the buyout. I just don't understand why we don't do these things.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can help us amend the public service regulations. But in practice, what we do in the department, we do absorb most of the people, but depending on whether we have posts available or not. And some of them are taken in as interns, because after they've finished studying, you don't necessarily have the money to pay for their salaries. You only had an allocation that you have just for bursaries. In the public entities, I also know that they have a similar system, and Isham wants to come in.
Chair, we do provide bursaries, and we also try and place them, if not within our department, also within municipalities where they can actually carry out specific functions, Chair. So we do place them
for me that doesn't work. You guys, then it's going to be an obligation. The obligation is two ways. The only way you're going to build this organization is by getting people to, and yourselves to buy in, and then they become your workers. And at some stage they can leave if they want to, but they must be that. I mean, if you don't do that, you're actually just getting graduates for the private sector.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, they get into the private sector. All these kids we try and get. So sometimes there's no use you telling me that 85% of your bursaries are for the disadvantage. If I know all those kids are going to land in the private sector. Don't give me that. Private sector is the private sector. There's very little that comes out of transformation out of that sector. That sector is only when they're obliged to. They're going to get people voluntarily. That's why there's so many black kids that sit in the township without jobs, with degrees. Because we as a state have not been clever enough to make it our obligation that those kids come and work for us. And that's where they get their grounding. I mean, that's where we don't do this. This thing about the treasury and that you make way. I mean, those people come in, they get paid at the lowest level.
even if they've got degrees, because they graduated or just graduated. So you put them wherever in the organization at the lowest level of salary. You guys have got 11% vacancy rate. 11%. Work out the salary package of 11% of your staff. If you now use these kids and you employ them, you always have 11%. It's a natural thing in every department. So you naturally have money to pay for those kind of entry-level salaries for these children. Get them in the organization. Teach them. Get them all the values and stuff. Hey, I want to see your contract, your bursary contract, DG. You come and discuss it with me. We want to change this thing. This thing we want to change. We don't want to create people for the private sector. The private sector will naturally get to who they want. And they're only going to choose the ones they like. Usually they have got very fair skin color. Very little else in the private sector. Very much so. Okay, ma'am.
Just to say that the biodiversity jobs...
I want us to say something in the report about these bursaries, Shereen.
The Jobs Fund project is trying to do exactly that by creating work opportunities within the sector, not necessarily sitting in government, but throughout the whole sector, and create work opportunities for young graduates in that regard. So
that we're going to change.
Yes, and the fact that we now have this ACD strategy for the sector produced through Sandy as well, where we also look at upskilling and then being able to have the appropriate skills to meet both Sandy and the department and the sector-wide mandate. And then the other challenge remains around just marketing the gardens and to improve income generation and expand their visitor demographics. So I think some of the issues you raised around sandparks would also apply
to this very much so.
And our last entity is Isimangaliso. And their key achievements really are around just providing tangible benefits to the community around Isimangaliso. So they were able to detect 18 illegal developments and take appropriate action, and 93 poaching incidents. They were able to reduce the alien invasive species in the park by 5% as planned. They met their targets for permanent jobs maintained, 83 over the 50 they had set out. They had actually a 9.2% increase in the number of BEE SMMEs operating throughout their programs in the park, and their target had been 2. They increased the minimum equity participation by contract. They awarded 45 students bursaries for undergraduate study during the last financial year, and these are all local students. And then they were also able to increase their visitor numbers from the previous year, although they are experiencing some strain in maintaining that. The revenue base in the park exceeded their target, and they were able to complete their facilities management program on budget and within time frames. And this is the Cape Vidal facility. And then the infrastructure redevelopment on the eastern and western shores as they have achieved. And then their key challenges are around funding. They have a lot of programs that are funded externally, specifically through the Lotto Fund. And so when these programs are late in disbursing funds, it results in a late implementation of some of these programs. And they are starting to also experience the effects of the economic recession, and that has an impact on visitor numbers and obviously on increasing their revenue going forward. So those were the key challenges.
Now, there's a whole, the west side. There are facilities there that have gone completely dilapidated, which are wonderful facilities. And, you know, they need money to get those facilities upgraded. I think we must, Ms. Dawood, one of our recommendations must be that the committee fully supports the appropriation of more funding towards conservation issues, whether it be to get more land in under conservation or whether it is to provide infrastructure for the ones that exist now. We strongly support both because it will mean that it will increase revenues, it will make them self-sufficient, but it will also create more tourist facilities and et cetera, et cetera. It creates more jobs, more money into the economy, and we're fully supportive of that. So let's do a little paragraph on that, okay? We very strongly as a committee support this. I think things are moving, but they're moving too slow for my liking. I mean, as I said, all that whole west bank of Isiswangalisa, it's the most beautiful sight you can ever imagine. You look over that whole thing from there. That thing is, the elephants have walked through there. The pools there are all decimated. That whole infrastructure is going to rot. Whereas we just needed more money to get that thing uplifted, then you've got a whole new area for infrastructure. For example, these people that live around there, to give cheap accommodation to them for a weekend and so on. Exactly, so that we can get more people into those parks, get more people involved in conservation and so on. Okay, comments, questions, other than the ones that have been raised? Seems some good work here. I imagine Smangalisa is the only one that had financial problems, eh? Sandi. Tell us quickly what they are before we... All of them had unqualified reports, but Sandi had some matters of emphasis, is it? As I can remember.
Thank you, Chair. Out of the five, four had clean audit reports, so they didn't have any findings either on the financials, compliance, or performance information. Sandi had material corrections, but there was quite a number of material corrections that they had to make to their financial statements to prevent qualification. And just quickly, it's our list. There's about 17 corrections that they had to make.
Just give the big ones.
Let me just quickly check here. I see plants and buildings, assets, that's of zero value, personnel expenditure, employee costs.
Have we sat down with the department and Sandy, have we worked out a plan to deal with these issues?
With Sandy, definitely. The one thing that changed at Sandi as well is the CFO that was appointed in April. So I'm positive that he will make a difference if he's there for the entire year, making sure that the checks and balances are in place on a day-to-day basis so that they can...
CFO, have we looked at these things that they're going to fix up and are we happy with it?
Chair, we have a Lakota planned with the entities on the 12th of November. Where we're going through the whole review in terms of all aspects of governance.
Separate, eh?
So, yeah, no, but we also have bilaterals with each one of the entities, which is set. The date for Sandy is the 15th.
Yeah, but I want you guys to give an assurance to this committee before I pass this report that you've sat down with Sandy and the AG, looked at what they're going to do, and that you're happy with the steps that have been taken. We don't have to say something negative in our report if you can give us the assurance to the department. The problem is, I'm actually worried that you guys have left it so long. This is the only problem where you have financial problems, and we haven't sat down to look at it. We're leaving it for a meeting in November. DG? You're running. DG, I want us to urgently meet around the Sandi financial problems and to look at their plan and see that this department agrees that plan is going to solve the problem. I hear you have meetings only in November sometime. That's too late. Okay? You have your ordinary meetings in November you want to, but I need an assurance in this committee that you have looked at the plans that Sandi's put in place. The AG has mentioned one of them, that they've got a new CFO. Yes. Now, that's a good start, but that's not the answer. The answer is there to, for this issue, there has to be a plan.
They have a plan.
I want to hear from your mouth
that DG's mouth, who's responsible for finances, that you are happy that that plan is going to solve the problems for next year.
Okay.
You guys can't give it to me at the moment.
Oh, okay.
That makes me very sad.
No,
as I sit here, I'm sad.
I'm so sad. I hope to make you happy.
No, please, let us have an urgent response. You guys meet urgently with them. You check, did you happy with those plans, and you tell, you send a response to the committee that you're happy in the next day or two, that you've looked at the plans, you've added some things, but you're happy that this is going to solve the problem. Because that is why I've asked you to come and report at the entities. Because one part of it is time constraints, but part of it is I wanted to see whether the departments are on hand and are hands-on on their problems in their entities, particularly their financial problems. Now, in water, we had more problems because they... But here, this is only the one problem we've got.
No, all of them, they have looming problems.
Well, that makes me even more worried, you see. But this is the one that the AG has reported to us. It's Sandy.
Yes.
And I want to know that if I've got your insurance as the DG who's responsible for finances, that you've looked at the plan, you're happy with the plan, I'm happy to accept your assurance for it. Because next year I can hold you to account to it. That's simple why I like to hear it.
But remember, yeah, I think
I can share the plan and what level of oversight we do undertake on entities. But I cannot 100% be accountable for the decisions of their board if they decide to give everybody bonuses.
No. All I want is the AG has found 17 problems with their finances. All I want to know from your department is you've looked at the plans for those 17 and you are happy that if that is implemented and you make sure that they report to you however regularly you want them on those plans, whether they're being... If you give me that assurance, that is, I'm happy with it.
Thank you, Chair.
I'm not asking you to answer for their board.
Okay.
You know, I don't like these boards.
All right. I will.
I don't like them.
Okay, thanks. I will do that, Chair. Thanks.
Right. So, members, those are this fourth or fifth program. Mr. Morgan?
Thank you. Thanks for that. I mean, those comments are quite comprehensive. As we're also doing BRR recommendations at the moment, Chair, and you were general about the need to, that the committee is supportive of increased allocation and conservation, I think in general, whether it be for infrastructure or land acquisition. I think it's worth pointing out that for whatever the drivers are from last year to this year, when we sit in the same space, that in the country's premier national park, the incidence of rhino poaching has increased significantly. And I do think we have to reflect on the good things that have happened. I mean, I'm well aware that 150 extra rangers have been deployed, and of course that's very, very good news, and that has hopefully increased the square kilometer area that individual rangers need to patrol. Having said that, of course, I mean, this is a difficult challenge, and at the same time as there are more rangers, I mean, the poaching increased because the demand is insatiable. Now that the department hasn't agreed to, you know, any demand-driven initiatives, or at least to attempt to get any demand-driven initiatives, with the deadline on the 4th of October having passed. So for the next 4 years, we're in the realm of compliance and enforcement. You know. So, and if there is to be a demand-driven intervention in the future, there has to be a high level of compliance and enforcement anyway. So the question I really pose, Chair, and it's a complex one, does Sand Park and Esi Mangaliso at this stage, and I focus on them because they're your entities, I mean, we're not responsible for Esi Mangaliso, what budgetary requirements do they require in order to further increase the compliance and enforcement on the ground? Because there are, I mean, and this committee has discussed this before, there are certain things which you're responsible for. I mean, I think we're in agreement that this is a broad criminal issue. It involves the SAPs, the Hawks, international relations, secret service. I get all of that. But there are certain things which you are responsible for, and particularly Sand Parks and Easy Mangalisa. I kind of personally feel a bit helpless here because, you know, one option is now not on the table for the next 4 years or so.
Well, really. I mean, are you saying that we've missed the deadline for SAPI?
Huh? Well, anyway, but you can respond when I finish.
Have we?
Okay.
Let's finish, Mr. Morgan,
okay.
Then they
so you can respond if I'm wrong.
Oh, my God, I can't believe this.
You can respond if I'm wrong. Either way, the question stands. Whether you have long-term demand management or whether you don't, the compliance and enforcement has to improve. I understand how difficult it is. I mean, I get that. But it is evidently, you know, the war on rhinos is escalating. It's not getting less. And I think all we can safely say is that without your intervention, it would have been even more. But it's not good enough, quite frankly, because it's still going up. So what does Sand Parks and Issy Mangaliso / the department need so that the department that we can consider, obviously, making a motivation to you on compliance, for increased compliance and enforcement allocation? Because it's simply not good. And this is the problem I have, Chair. On the one hand, Treasury are saying these are entities which have to increasingly stand on their own and they must generate more fees. And you know, there should be more commercial components, and we see it happening. And times are tough. But this is something very, very unique here. The fight against poaching is surely going to have to come out of an additional allocations from the Treasury. You can't just argue that these entities have to fight it from within their allocation and their revenue stream. So I'd appreciate quite comprehensive comments on that. Because Chairperson, I mean, I don't know, I think if we as a committee also have to be on the right side of this particular issue, and if we can help, then I'd like us to be able to do that.
Joe, please let me not hear what you're going to say now.
Yeah, I don't know why you're not answering the acting. But Chair and Honourable Members, let me just outline what we have been doing, and also propose that we need a follow up to the workshop that we had on Rhino, because we have a comprehensive report now that outlines the package of interventions that should help us cap the problem. So following the committee workshop, we have undertaken a broad stakeholder consultation process in the country, which has translated into a report that outlines both the scientific responses and further enforcement and compliance actions that we should explore in the country, together with the exploration of the database suggestion that the Chair indicated at the previous workshop. We should have a database that gives information about both rhino stockpiles and also site permitting processes. So we are, by the end of this financial year, we would have concluded most of those actions. And we have already also tried in this process to get information about the posture on whether we should open trade or not. And the minister is having a stakeholder in Daba, what is it called? Hunting in Daba, end of the 30th of October, and I guess the committee is invited.
I got an invite, but the committee hasn't got one, so that'll be good if you send one to them as well.
To the committee, okay, we can send the invite to the committee. So the intention is that from that, we can then also reinforce the options that we have as a country, as a multiple, on a multiple basis, so that we look at trade, what does it mean then to prepare for trade, and we all work towards that. The amendment of regulations was part of that, part of the amendment that the committee has considered on NEMA relates to those aspects. And we are also looking at this process of rhino stockpiles from the private sector in order to then have a handle on exactly what is the status, because that information is going to have to be forthcoming when we approach the CITES Secretariat. During CITES early next year, the plan also is to run sessions at CITES, inviting more the important stakeholders, the EU, so that they can also back us in this and in our proposal for them that time. If we would take the proposal this time around, we were really of the view that it was not going to succeed because we don't have all the ducks in the room. So it was not intended to go into this in this CITES session, which takes place in February. I think on increasing our...
So when is the possibility that if we go through our processes, when will it possibly be on the agenda? I mean, Mr. Morgan just mentioned 4 years.
2 years, no, 2016. 3 years, yeah, 2016. Is it 2013 next year? Yeah, 2016.
Yes.
Okay, in the meantime, Chair and Honourable Members, Treasury, what we, part of the strategy on increasing enforcement is to make sure that SANPARKS has got even advanced technology to support the enforcement, night vision equipment. We're talking about some agreements with the army on both bulletproof vest and all. So I think the team can also talk to those. So there is a broad suite of things. Treasury has actually given us an adjustment in our budget right now, and when you get the presentation by the CFO to show that they understand the challenge at hand, for SANPARKS to even add other additional, to put in place additional rangers, and also to begin to invest in some of the equipment. But there are other partnerships that some of the DDGs are working on in respect of equipment that can be of use in this fight against this challenge, and partly also other agreements are being pursued. ALF was addressing an international ambassador's meeting last week, talking about the advancement of the memorandum of agreement with the consumer, or the so-called consumer countries, but also even the other countries that can create the awareness and put pressure on those consumer countries. So I think, Chair, as I was proposing earlier on, we can present a real comprehensive plan and a strategy, which I think is going to somewhat help us make a difference in dealing with the challenge at hand.
I also suggest you at least get an invite for some of the committee members to come to that in Daba so they can hear firsthand what's happening. I've got an invite, so I suggest you get at least an invite for two opposition and two ANC members as well for the committee, okay? So that we can have, so we can go and hear this process, because I must just tell you, a very respected conservationist has contacted me, and he then mentioned to me, no, this thing about CITES is off. And I said, no, as far as I'm aware, it's all on track. But I see what he's now referring to. It's on track only for 2016, which is a disaster. Yeah. Yes.
Chair, I kind of beg to differ with you. Basically, what I'm hearing is that you've already decided that opening trade on Rhino Horn is the best way forward. And that is a very undecided issue in my view. We have no understanding of whether or not...
It can't be undecided from our point of view. Our point of view is that we've expressed that view.
Well,
and as far as I've had my engagements with the department, I thought we were moving in that direction.
I agree with you.
You're
I think
going, telling me completely different stuff.
No, but in the consultation process that the minister has that the DG referred to, there's significant stakeholders within South Africa that hold opposite views, and I don't think that at this point in time. If we were to have made on the 4th of October made those submissions, that we would have been in a position to credibly engage at a level of CITES when there's still significant lack of consensus within the stakeholders in South Africa.
You know, we had our public hearings. Every single person at public hearing expressed this view, except the lady that came at the end, who basically had one of those views that you just don't touch anything. But other than her, not a single person came to express that view. This is strongly on the table at the... I mean, am I incorrect in what I'm saying? But I don't remember any other one except the lady at the end.
We have the report, Chair. That's why I'm saying we can present the report from the stakeholders and to come, because there are serious views expressed in the report from a variety of stakeholders. They've been all stakes. Most of the stakeholders in this area were consulted, and they have given suggestions. And we have to then see how we balance those and also get the backing of credible countries who are state parties that are going to help us make headway at CITES. If we go half supported at CITES without a strategy to, one, agree, even we needed even time when we, through our binational agreement with the EU, to go to the EU Parliament to present the case so that we really have enough support.
We have one of the things that we wanted from the department was a plan on how we're taking CITES forward.
That plan is there, that's something we can present now, both the plan as well as the report, in line with the workshop issues that were considered previously. So that is the workshop that we need, even if it's just only us without the other stakeholders, so that you can engage with it. Because that plan is very cabinet after the endeavor that the minister is convening.
Yeah, okay. You know, just remember that, I mean, people are entitled to their views, but government has to do what is right. Now, I know these people that have their views that you absolutely don't touch the rhinos, and if they get massacred in the process, well, you know, so be it. It's neither here nor there. Now, they're entitled to those views, but we really need to move on this thing. And I do trust that when this workshop is over, that government will then... You see, what Alf says to me really worries me. He says, this has not been decided at all. And I have thought that we've gone much further than this process, which really worries me. Because if the department is not going to do this, they must tell us up front. They must not take us down the line and somewhere down the line say, no, this is not the way we're going to go. I want to make that very clear.
Okay, I think what else is new is that the decision has to go, it's going to be taken by cabinet.
Of course.
Even the minister herself, she said she needs enough understanding on exactly what is coming out of all the stakeholders and presents that to cabinet, which is why she's convening the Indaba. So it's
not just only her decision. I think that is what she had indicated. So I think there is a strong consideration of opening trade, but it also is counterbalanced with other parts of the activities that we have to pursue. So we're running a proper process that allows us to then make that informed decision. And therefore approach the
scientist secretary,
because we have not yet submitted.
No, that's fine.
Okay, thank you.
Were there follow-ups? Did I see your hand, Mr. Morgan? Follow-up?
Did you take your response on what's coming through on the adjustment budget, which you didn't answer my question, I don't know, maybe departments don't have relationships with our committees like this here, who will speak publicly about it. But the question I asked specifically was, do you need even more support for next year's budget? And you aren't giving us anything to work with. So you said drones and bulletproof vests and all of that. The question is, can we put in a request, my colleagues agree, for even more support? Because you've already built it in, obviously. The question is, can more be done on compliance and enforcement?
Certainly, Chair, I think through you, the budget submission of the department requires more resources into the MTA. And certainly the committee, it would be helpful to have the committee supporting that bid. And in the presentation of the financials, you are going to then see the numbers. Veronica? So it is a third presentation, CFO, isn't it? It does reflect the figures. So we will then be able to request your support in that regard. And certainly there is more that can be done in respect to the enforcement. Thank you.
I think we'll do that when we listen to that. But I think what we must do in February, when you come and present the budget, I think what you need to do is do a separate input for us on conservation. And take for us the last 5 years, the budget for conservation and how they've increased or decreased. And what Mr. Morgan's also then saying is, what kind of things will we fight for in the next 3 years of the MTEF to be increased? So we may not be able to make specific comments in this report because we may not have the information other than supporting more money being given. But I want the CFO to prepare properly for when they present the budget to us, to come and do a separate part on conservation, looking back over the last 5 years, how it's grown or not. So if we make inputs on it, we can properly show historically how it's grown or not grown, and that will include the expansion of conservation, the maintenance and growth of the present structures, and then, of course, law enforcement, all three aspects of it, in terms of how we need, and a proper breakdown of those budgets over the last 5 years, and how over the next 3 years they are increasing or decreasing, so that we can actually then see whether we want to make specific recommendations on that budget. Have you got that? Please put that in the report as well, okay, that we want that report from them at the next budget presentation, beginning of next year.
Okay.
And then we'll have to make space for that input. Luckily, we can go to this workshop then and at least hear what the CITES processes are and make sure that we either give our support or our opposition to it there. Although we've broadly, as a principle, agreed that it seems that the proposals that were made by people like Andrew Muir, that one starts using... that you try and undermine the existence of a black market by actually allowing animals that have died of natural causes for their products to be used as a supplement or a substitute for that black market that's been created. So that you try and do that. Of course, that means a whole lot of work and stuff has to be done. But that was broadly, I thought, what we have felt is where we should be going with this in the future, okay, as a committee. Okay. That. Any other questions, responses to that? Okay. Program 6. Sorry, Mr. Morgan.
once again, also I know it's looking forward, but we don't often get you before the committee. What is your progress on coordinating from a central level the I don't know whether to call it the awarding, probably the oversight over the granting of hunting permits for piranhas. Noting problems in the Northwest and Limpopo in the past, you made some very good interventions on controls. Can you just give us even just a 1 minute update on that and whether you're facing any challenges in that regard?
We're working on an interim system, obviously, through our IT. So we are still collecting the monthly reports coming in from the provinces and are working to try and get our own internal, we call it EDMS, electronic document management system. But we are hoping to give them access to our restricted system, so that the data that they are, the provinces are populating comes through. But since we also introduced the need for us to verify specific applications before they could be processed, there's been a reduction in applications along that line because there's this additional step which has been introduced. But we are working with provinces on a monthly basis just to try and collate all the data and hope to have an integrated system that will be operational. It's in the things which the CFO will present where funding has been allocated to, for us to run an integrated permitting system.
I think just as an additional chair and Honourable Member Morgan, the issue of centralizing functions is quite contentious with the provinces. We have to first build the case, and once we have the case, then we then demonstrate where the real weaknesses are, because the MECs and the premiers are resisting the takeover of functions. So CITES permitting and biodiversity conservation is a concurrent function between national and provincial departments, and therefore that's why we opted for first having a quality control step for now, so that as they have issued the permits, before they actually finalize the process, we then come in and do the verification process in order to really instill credibility in the system. And if that it hasn't got anything to go by, as MINMET happens and on a quarterly basis, the minister and the MECs are going to reflect on how things have improved and where there are still serious problems. And if they're in the need, we will then have to open up a call or have a submission to MINMET that requires them that the function of authorization must be centralized. That is why I think the minister had a thought about NEMA wanting to have the power to intervene, because cabinet has asked her why in most instances do we appear to be powerless as a national department and not necessarily intervene and take over outside of what is outlined in constitution. I can't remember section 3B. I can't remember now. 25B, 2A, 2B, 2C, or something like that, in section 100. So outside of that, how could we use the environmental legislation to allow those kinds of interventions without undermining the powers, but to make sure that the environmental function is executed at best in terms of what is entrusted in the constitution. So for now, I think we are not planning to take over the CITES permitting, but we have put that step in place, and we hope that we can review the process as time goes.
Anything else? Okay. 6 program.
Thank you, Chair, honourable members and colleagues. With the key achievements, 65,000 people have been employed through the programs during the year in question. Just given the discussion around the Rhino, there have been 80 people employed as what we're calling environmental monitors, but they are assisting in dealing with the poaching threats. This is principally in the Kruger Park and private parks to the west of the Kruger Park. And the early indications are that that is certainly helping, and that's something that we could probably expand quite considerably. We've used 846 SMMEs. We've planted 41,000 indigenous trees. It's one of the areas, Chairperson, where clearly the targets need to be improved. We also don't need to only focus on indigenous trees. We just have to focus on non-invasive trees, but we can do all sorts of greening and other benefits that come from this, thermal properties of buildings through appropriate use of trees and so on. 32,000, almost 33,000 households benefiting that's in terms of waste collection, it should be. The National Strategy on Sustainable Development has been finalised and approved by Cabinet. Facilities for 100 environmental education and awareness workshops achieved, and 49, almost 50,000 accredited person days, that's for training, that has been done. In terms of the key challenges, the one that is mentioned there, and it's specific to the forestry, how it's been written, the Working for Forests program. But we moved, as you all know, the Working for Water and Working on Fire programs across from Water Affairs to Environmental Affairs at the end of the previous financial year. It was a major undertaking, I think a lot more than we had anticipated. So very difficult for the programs themselves, but also very difficult for the department, the receiving department, with the many challenges that had to be overcome in that process. So when you could go to the next slide with the pattern of tools.
Pretty slide, what a pretty slide.
Well, yeah. The Working for Forest program has significantly underachieved. This has been focusing particularly on the conversion of wattle stands to woodlots for community use or for saw timber. And that's because of the regulation processes that we think that we'll catch up in this financial year. It's also the first part in this financial year.
What's the red?
That's the working.
The wattle.
Yeah, the wattle conversion is the one that applies there. And then just to tell you, the yellow is the present days of work, the full-time equivalents. And that's related again to the transfer and the difficulties. The difficulties particularly in Working for Water. So the SRP program achieved all its targets, Working on Fire achieved its targets. The difficult one was Working for Water. The hectares of land was similarly affected, so it was 665,000 hectares repaired where the target was 717,000. The workplace skills plan needs to be implemented this year. The work was done with local authorities in the previous year. The number of grade 7 teachers that were trained was meant to be 80. There were 69 that were trained. The wetland figure, which has been mentioned already, that we did not achieve all the wetland conservation work that was intended, but very good work is being done there. And then the National Youth Service, where 600 was the target and 548 were.
The removal of invasive species, how many people have we got working under that?
It's about 28,000 people through Working for Water and then some.
I've always wondered, is Treasury just not giving us more money to create more people there?
Treasury has been good. I mean, Working for Water did not have a good year last year. So I think what we need to do is first
see what happens in the ordinary year.
But Chairperson, there's no reason not to have massive numbers of people doing this work.
I mean, that's the kind of work, you know, if you go and look, if you go and look at Isis Mangaluso, and you see how the water levels have increased, I mean, they're those pans now. They never existed before. But there's pans now, new pans where the animals are, they don't go down to the... I mean, like, and what is that? I mean, they ascribe it 100% to removing all those trees, those forests, and then, of course, taking out all the invasives. And suddenly the water comes back, they're pans, they're... Like, it's amazing. Nature is amazing. So, like, it's just, for me, I just think to myself, why don't we double the amount of people and just clean out the rubbish and chop down the trees that we don't want in the river system? I mean, I just don't understand it. You just take, get them. And they can be very unskilled. They can be women and men. You can just get so much work done.
I think we will grow it, Chairperson. You know, the returns on investment from this program are exceptional. We must just have our management working properly. That's the presentation, Chair. Oh, sorry, I beg your pardon. I should just mention international does fall under this heading as well. But there's no slide because they achieved everything. So I don't know if Alf wants to elaborate on that.
International, who hasn't got a slide? Again, this is a question of information being in your head but not being available to us.
What?
Where's the slide?
Chair, you approved the work plan. So you have the work plan. All the targets which were set.
Half my question, why isn't there a slide? Every unit in the department had to come and report on their performance. If they say that we approve their work plans, then why did all of them come and give us a slide to present, to tell us what's going on? DG? Let me ask you rather. You're the DG. Why no slide, DG?
Document, Chair, you had a slide, but when we were then, when I decided that we break the presentations and cluster.
Oh, well, then that's the answer. You
so
just.
It's there. Okay.
Where, on which page?
11? Page, yeah.
26.
Yeah.
Okay, we have got the information on this document. Page 26. They just cut down their slide for time. Okay, then just take us through quickly.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. So the number of targets related to the positions that we researched and developed and consulted and were approved in relation to climate change in particular, and we had four, if you recall, we had four formal negotiating sessions last year, which culminated in the COP, and in substance, as well as in diplomatic terms, the Durban COP, I think you were there, Chair, was extremely successful. It was hard. I think on Friday night and Saturday morning, there were many nervous thoughts that perhaps the whole COP would have collapsed, but in the end, the South African position was incorporated into the final outcome. In terms of implementation recommendations, achieved approximately 70% of the implementation recommendations. Were accepted and incorporated into implementing agents' programs with an annual target of 60%. And we did submit the international engagement report to Parliament, the NEMA Section 26 report. And in addition, the second national communication, but I think that's in Judy's and Judy's already reported on the submission of the second national communication.
How far away are you of Cabinet adopting a position for COP 18?
Yeah, Judy.
Chair, the draft position has been discussed by the DG cluster and it's on its way to the Cabinet Committee. It was initially scheduled, in fact, to be in the Cabinet Committee tomorrow, but it's from my information, it's been delayed, but it should be within the next cycle.
I think what you must do is, DG, once Cabinet has approved it, then we may see if we can fit in a closed session. We just know what's going to happen. So just let us know when Cabinet approves it, okay?
Yes, I would set up as you said with the closed session, and but the minister, I don't know when she's going to take it. She's not around.
Yeah, but now the things are changing, the dates, and it's difficult. Just let us know as soon as you tell us the Cabinet's approved it now, so that it's not just your position anymore. And all I want to hear is the committee to know what it is we're going to. But I think it should be a closed session. Okay.
Chair. I think that would be very valuable because I think that the committee needs to be aware that the Doha meeting or the COP 18 meeting is a critical one to a large extent to bed down what we agreed in Durban. So in Durban we secured the opportunity for a completely new paradigm shift. But whether we achieve that is dependent on whether we can bed down the three legs of the Durban Agreement.
So it's important that we know what it is.
And really the work that you do with international parliamentary processes and lobbying work, absolutely vital to help us. Thank you.
Okay. All right, so we'll wait for that and we'll make space somewhere for it, okay? All right, that's the sixth report with the international dimension plus, so it's Dr. Preston stuff plus ALK stuff. Any questions, any comments? Seems straightforward. We'll just put in our report as well to receive a briefing once Cabinet, to receive a closed briefing once Cabinet has approved our position for COP 18. All right, now what other reports do we have? And what else after that? Well, the AG is with the CFO, so the AG should go before the CFO. What is that? MTF go forward. So it's all fine. From now on, it's all financial, so we can finish today. Bambili, Koskas. Bambili. All right, what's the time? It's 12:30. Okay, let's take the AG's report, and then we'll see if we can start taking some of yours, or we'll do it after the sitting. And then we'll finish after that. Okay. AG, you can start. AG, you can, a lot of the technical stuff, just skip it. Go to where the problems are.
Thank you, Chair. I just need to know if I go and sit there.
No, you can sit there. Do you need the screen? Okay. No, fine, do that. Effective species women are by studying the praying mantis. After the male has done what he has to do, she just eats him up. While he's busy, by the way. And she starts at the head. And she just eats him. And she just you've served your, you useless animal, you've served you, you've served your purpose. Let me now eat you up so we can have supper. Call the baby, say, come eat, daddy. And there we move forward. And then she goes and looks for the next daddy. So, all right. You see, Isham, you see how effective the praying mantis is to get rid of guys like you. Very effective, very effective. Okay, ma'am, it's over to you.
Thank you, Jefferson. You said I mustn't bother too much with the technical stuff and just focus on the problems. I think the fortunate part of this portfolio is that there isn't a lot of problems. We've discussed the combined assurance with the water affairs session, but I don't know if I quickly need to go through that or is it fine? Maybe combined assurance model.
No. I mean, this is the good thing about this. We have two departments.
Yes,
so you can only tell me the bad things about this department. That's all I want to hear from you.
Well, if you look at that slide, it's a lot of green, so that means there's not a lot of bad things in this portfolio. Since 2019, there's a consistent 3 departments that have been cleaned. As I said, no findings on performance information, compliance, or in terms of the financials. For 2010-11, there were 2 departments, or 2 entities that were financially unqualified with findings. It was Sunbay and Sandparks. Sandparks had supply chain irregular expenditure, which they resolved this year. So for 2011-12, it's only Sunbay that was reported non-compliance in terms of the material corrections they had to make to the financial statements. That is
good.
Just showing the movement, showing that Sunbay state financial and political.
See why I need your assurance. That yellow must go.
Yes.
Next year. So you must tell me you're gonna what steps have been put in place that's gonna go.
Sunbox improved and India is among the reserves and weather services that remain their clean status during 2010-11, 11-12. If you look at the drivers for internal control, we assess this, we discuss this with the leadership on a quarterly basis. I think governance, which is the internal audit, audit committee and the risk assessment, remains at 100% effective, being in place. If you look at leadership, there is improvement. The 2 that is sitting in the yellow is we still rate the department as yellow, being some policies and procedures that is currently in process of being approved, that's still related to the previous department. So just making sure that the policies and procedures is up to date and applicable to the current department.
You say the department itself, you put in yellow there?
Yes.
On leadership?
Yes.
Because they haven't been able to finalize certain policy procedures.
Policies and procedures, yes, that's correct. And also relating to some
other,
I don't know, how to see it.
Yeah, I can just check. They, more or less, they are HR and some supply chain policies, which were already in the process, but what we, the consultation process is that we need to first, we needed to first get to the DBC. Bargaining council, and they sit once a quarter. So when you have a number that must be processed, it takes time. So now I have opted, in terms of the department, we've then agreed that I must approve those policies and then adjust them after the bargaining council if they have made changes. But I'm not sure whether that is not going to put me on another risk where the staff, then the unions would use that when there is a staff that is affected by any of those policies during execution. And I've raised that with AG to see whether we have a way to manage that. But those are the policies.
Okay. No, I just want to know which
one. Thanks. The other 20% on the leadership is then Sunbay. where they don't have an HR plan. The HR plan was only approved subsequent to our audit. And also then oversight in terms of the financials, making sure the checks and balances are there so that they can prepare accurate financial statements. In terms of financial performance and management, it's again the 60% in terms of red, upstream, sorry. The red there is once again Sunbe, and it refers directly to the number of material corrections they had to make to their financial statements, making sure that their day-to-day activities is in line, that they collect the information, maintain the documentation so that they are in a position to report accurately. And then also for the department, we've recommended that they enhance the process of preparing the financial statements and making sure there's a review process involving internal audit, having processes to make sure that the set of financial statements that is eventually submitted for audit purposes is accurate and correct. If we look at the status of focus areas, there's five areas. I think commendable is the performance information, which all five, the department and the four entities, we didn't find any findings on performance information, that meaning that the targets have been found to be specific, measurable, smart, time-bound. We could verify the information, we could trace it to supporting documentation, so the information reported in the annual report has been regarded as complete and accurate.
Where is
that? That's the 100%. Yes.
Poor quality service delivery report.
Yes.
That sounds terrible.
It sounds terrible, but at least it's a green, so the green shows it's positive.
I've never seen a green that sounds so terrible in my life. And look at this, I say poor quality service delivery. Ow! You get 100% for... So you do it so well, you get 100% for it. The poor service delivery.
Sure, if you compare this to other departments...
Hey, can I just say that that's a really terrible name and you should change it. Performance delivery, then let's call it performance delivery.
Chair, it's because it's a transversal theme throughout government, so and this is, I think, the only portfolio where it's only green. Majority of the portfolios, you will find it mostly red. In terms of poor human...
Maybe that's a lesson to the AG. You must word more of your things badly. You'll get 100% for it.
The human resource management, the 20% there in Sunbe was the HR plan that wasn't in place and wasn't approved. Material errors and omissions in financial statements, once again, it was Sunbe, was the corrections they had to make. The IT exposure, I think that is the area where the portfolio still needs to work on in terms of making sure the governance framework are in place, policies and procedures for IT is there, it's implemented, the controls, backup plans and those things are in place within the portfolio. The two that was green, if I can quickly check that, was Simangaliso and Sunbe. They didn't have any findings on the IT governance. And then the last one is supply chain. Yes, in terms of the IT systems.
Yeah. Oh, that heart attack the other thing. Go on.
And then in terms of supply chain contravention, we've identified the department itself had irregular expenditure where tax certificates weren't attached to the subcontractor's payment. So that was regarded as irregular expenditure because it was an isolated instance. It wasn't reported in the audit report. And then Sunbe had irregular expenditure where they didn't obtain quotations for payments that made. That was only an amount of 93,000 that was regarded as irregular there. So there's still some work in terms of the supply chain and the area that the controls should be strengthened and worked on. In terms of the predetermined objectives, as I said, 100%, 2010-11, 2011-12, no findings, not for the department or not for any of the entities. We've listed the non-achievement of targets as we've audited it. For the department, it was 19% that wasn't achieved, Sandparks 18%, Weather Services 15%, Sunbe 7%, and Isimangaliso 8%. So in
Sunbe can't run their finances, but they can achieve their goals.
Yes. Yeah, so they still achieve their purpose. I think in general, again, the compliment to the portfolio to say that majority of the targets that have been approved have been achieved during the year. The non-compliance, no non-compliance for the department that was raised. There's improvement for the entities, moving from 50% to 75% of the entities that didn't have any non-compliance. The only non-compliance that was raised in the entire portfolio was the financial statements that had to be corrected for material adjustments. There were three entities in the department that had no findings, one improvement in terms of financial statements that was submitted that didn't need adjustment. The improvement was Sandbox, that previously had non-compliance in terms of irregular expenditure and non-compliance of supply chain processes. They managed to correct that. And then the unchanged, the rate is Sunday because it's Philippines finding from last year. The irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure, the department didn't overspend or didn't spend more than what allocated the program, so there's no unauthorized expenditure. When we look at the irregular expenditure, it's red because it was identified during the audit process and not as a result of the processes within the department. The $2.3 million, as I indicated, was as a result of tax certificates that wasn't available for transactions paid for. And then the public entity is Sunbee, where they didn't get quotations for the 93,000 rand expenditure that they paid.
Tax
certificates.
$2 million rand worth of tax certificates.
The total value of the contract was, or the payments made, was $2.3 million, and the tax certificates weren't available.
From nothing, that's up to $2.3 million.
Yeah.
Oh, did you slip it?
No, I think... No
bonus.
Yeah, no bonus for me this year, I'm sure. For that. Because of that. But, Chair, I mean, we have...
What does it mean, the tax certificates? What is that?
When you contract, when you commit a service, one of the requirements, there are forms that get completed. They're called what SBD forms, where people declare interest and then also confirm that they've submitted tax clearance certificate. In those cases, before you actually commit, you need to have the tax clearance certificate. So we don't know what happened there.
Have you sacked the people that did it?
I have warned them.
Do you know who they are?
No, I'm warning supply chain, but it's managers that procure. But then the actual documentation must be certified.
There's
going to
be no action taken.
There is a warning. That's an action.
A warning.
Yes.
A warning.
Serious warning letter.
A warning from north to 2.3 million. A warning.
A warning letter and no bonus to the supply chain leader.
I mean, it's a serious thing because, I mean, it means they knew they had to have the form filled in beforehand, they didn't do it, and they still paid the money.
But it's for subcontractors. let me say, when it's you, when you send a proposal as the chair, honorable advocate for legal services, you then decide to subcontract Linda Galit and Isham Abada, and one of them does not have a tax.
I won't need a tax because I won't give them too much money for that.
But you,
it will be very cheap, that is.
you as advocate Silange, you would have the tax clearance and we are paying to you as a department. But the rule is that we should also have the tax clearance of Isham Abada as well as for. So they paid advocate Silange, but not the subcontractors. But there is proof that they were subcontractors, which is something that seems in our control systems we did not quite pick up. That is a real situation.
You sorted out the problem.
we set it up.
Without discipline.
We have discipline.
There's warning things.
Yes.
Your form of discipline.
A lot of disciplinary ends up with dismissal, warning letters, verbal written warning and verbal warning. All of those are outcomes of that discipline.
I know, I signed all those things.
Yes, so
this
I'm
one here, you've signed, you've just
written,
signed on a warning.
It's a written warning. Yes.
Written warning.
Yes. And no bonus.
Okay.
No bonus to chair for the first time.
Right. All right, go on to the next one.
Thank you. I just want to draw attention to the fruitless and wasteful expenditure that was identified at Sandbox. It was the patient and it was paid over to SARS, but it was paid over late, so there was penalties incurred by Sandbox to SARS, and that
Sandbox
was regarded as fruitless. Thank you, Jim. And the last slide that we have is where we identify the root causes for these non-compliance that was raised. In essence, what we're saying is that there's inadequate discipline to prepare credible monthly reporting and financial information. Yeah. That is the main one, and that is what needs to be fixed.
And warnings.
And then we've also mentioned responsibility for commitments not taken seriously. Because the non-compliance was a repeat finding for somebody from last year, I mean, obviously there was a commitment last year to say we're going to prepare accurate financial statements, and it still repeated this year. So we also raised that as a root cause. Thanks.
Thank you. I think you must put in that report that this committee notes Sunbee's continuous problems with keeping proper books in a whole lot of areas. We've had assurances previously that they're going to sort this out. The committee really hopes and trusts that this is the last year they receive such a report, and that we particularly want an assurance of the department and the DG checking what is being done by Sunbee to fix these problems, to agree that those are going to be enough to solve the problems, and to have regular checks during the year to make sure that they are fixing it up. Something like that, Shereen. That we just can't, but also say that we note that some of the other entities have fixed up their problems. For example, Sandbox has fixed up some of the problems. That on the whole, on the financial issues, we are relatively happy, and there seems to be a relative improvement in some areas. The worrisome one being that Sunbee's problems are persistent. And then you say all this other stuff, okay? So we have it clear. All right. That's the AG's report. Now, of course, that report you must read with the report we'll see later. I unfortunately have a lunch appointment, so I have to rush down to some hotel or the other. Where are we meeting this afternoon? Yeah. Immediately after the house sitting, we'll rush back. We'll finish the financial, then it means that we've finished the whole department. We won't sit tomorrow then, okay? It won't be necessary. So people can go back to work. All right, so we'll come and do the finances quickly. You say it's the financials, and then you're going to look at the MTF for the next 3 years as well. Those are the two things, okay? So if we do sit a bit later than 5, please, we'll sit a bit later, so it'll give you tomorrow off, okay? So you can go and do speeches and so on. We'll see each other immediately after the sitting. Thank you.